Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM is the phone number. Well, let's see. Super piping, smoking, 19-year-old hot. Surfer Anastasia Ashley's going to be in here. We had her in a few weeks back. We fell in love. We're having her back. Deborah Norville's calling in. Yes.
I think you gloss over that. I don't know if that's because you're modest or what, but you're a home wrecker.
Yes.
She fell for you, this poor kid. Lovely, lovely, nubile, blonde woman. Mm-hmm. Fell for you hard. Surfer lady. And now her boyfriend, when he heard the show, he was outraged. Mm. He called up and he said, I want a piece of Corolla.
Yeah.
I'll see him in the studio.
Well, we'll find out who the better man is. So he's calling in. And if I turn out to be the better man, then I will literally destroy her home with my penis. Literally. I stay away from the garbage disposal. I'll tell you what, I learned a valuable lesson about home wrecking using one's phallus in the garbage disposal many years ago. I don't want to get into that. Yeah. No, I'm saying use it to, I can use my penis to knock the pins out and the hinges and take the front door off. I can use it to, mash holes into the drywall if I hit it at the right angle. I can use it certainly to stain and defile.
Wow. Swiss Army Wang.
Yes, that's what they called me in high school. But the disposal, leave that to the plumber. That I learned. Very valuable lesson.
Wow, so that's going to be tense when the conflict goes down.
Well, Dr. Drew, my ex-partner and on again, off again lover, Dr. Drew will be in studio, which will be exciting because I think I've seen Drew once since I stopped doing Loveline, but I have to figure it out. We were supposed to. The good news about me is, and Dave, I know you share this gene as well, you don't want to do anything ever.
No.
Outside of what you have to do.
I disagree. I like to do one thing. It's not a lot of that. I just like to watch TV.
Your ideal world would be to be left alone with a TiVo remote in your hand and the kegerator and just to watch TV.
So how am I alone? I got my dear friends, the kegerator and the TV there.
That's a good point. No, that's how I am. And it's not that I don't do a lot of things. I just want to decide when I'm going to do them and who I'm going to do them with. And it'll be my idea. Mm-hmm. I'll get up off the sofa at some point and drag my ass down to the garage and putz around for a while. And then I'll get back up and sit on the sofa again. But I don't like that be here by then. Now, it started with school, and then that spilled into work. Now it's turned into social events.
Yes.
Parties, events, never walk down the red carpet, never go to any premieres, never go to anything, just because if it takes place at a time, and it's not now, and it's on the calendar, and there's a time you have to be there, and a day you have to be there, then I'm sort of intrinsically not interested. It's a weird thing. I would go to movie premieres if I just happened on movie premieres. It would have to be me actually walking down red carpet during the time they were holding this thing. But if somebody says, hey, May 12th, 8 o'clock, we're going to need you here, I'm immediately not interested, no matter how good it is.
And hangs like a black cloud over your head for the weeks until lead up. Every once in a while, you remind them. You're like, I don't think I'm going to make that.
Right. So what happened last week is a few weeks ago, we were supposed to go out with Dr. Drew and his lovely wife. And that was about 3 weeks ago. And I got some sort of stomach flu at the last moment and couldn't make it. Sent my wife on without me. Last week, we did that thing where, that thing where you make plans and then you call. You've made the plans. Oh, Saturday night. The Pinskys, Dr. Pinsky and his wife and you'll be going out to dinner. And then I said, well, just call just to shore up the time that afternoon, Saturday afternoon. My wife called his wife, and it was, real casual. Like, oh, no, Drew's shooting. He'll be back about 8. And my initial thing was a little bit of outrage. Like, well, what the F? Weren't you going to call us? You're essentially canceling. But then the TiVo, I heard the siren song and the TiVo calling and the sofa. Ooh. And I immediately was like, it's fine with me. Blow me off anytime. I was like, all right, fantastic. I'm staying home.
Okay, where have you guys been all my life?
Oh, really? That's what you like to do.
A flat screen? I swear to God, a flat screen is complete bliss. I hate it when people talk, when people ask you questions while you're watching TV.
Well, that's where the fun ends with
us. I like flicking channels, and I hate someone sitting next to me telling me, Claudia, but I wanted to see that.
Yeah.
Go to the other room.
Yes. Oh, we should hook up by not hooking up. You know what I mean? This would be the ultimate hookup. Never hooking up. Who knows? Maybe we're together and we don't even know it.
We'll just think to ourselves in our respective couches, watching our respective flat screens, the three of us were made for each other.
Well, it's an interesting thing, you know. I mean, if you think about the worst thing you can do in a relationship, for me, I remember living in a single apartment in Hollywood with my stripper girlfriend. I mean, you're on top of each other. There's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. You know, you're sleeping on the bed. She's watching TV in another part of the same room, but the room's 12 by 9. I mean, how far you can never get away. It's almost impossible. Who do you like under those circumstances? You know, you could have your bestest buddy and you guys are going to move out and get yourself a one bedroom stuff. 6 months later, you're trying to kill each other over half eaten Pop-Tarts that had your initials on them, you know. This is what happens when you put people on top of each other. I've always said the best thing you can do for a relationship is get some room, get some square footage, have the wife upstairs taking a bath while you're downstairs happily masturbating, watching the TiVo. That thing will go on for a million years, but I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to extrapolate the math one more step. Don't even live together. And now the next step, don't even know you're together. Claudia, God knows how long we've been going on.
Now, do people in your lives complain? Your wives, of course. Do they complain that you guys watch too much TV?
Well, so, we don't have people.
Because my guy goes, Claudia, it's a beautiful day outside. When are you going to get out of there? Meaning the TV room.
Listen, Mary Poppins needs to hit the bricks. Let us hang out. I don't even know where you live. That's the best part. Oh, we got something going on.
I don't know where I live these days.
It's more powerful than anything you inhabitants have. That's why I call the people that live
there
together.
There may be a problem. Maybe
what kind
you
of
and
narcissists
I...
too? But the world is filled with narcissists who think that they have something more interesting to provide for me than the TV.
No way.
Get out of here.
No way.
I've got 400 channels.
Yes.
My dear friend TV tells me about what's going on in the world.
Yes.
Entertains me, shows me movies, sports. What do you got? People calling me on the phone. Leave me alone.
Titillates.
Yes.
Yeah, look, these people are professionals. They do this for a living. They're entertainers.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do you think that your buddy is funnier than Chris Rock? Is he better looking than Angelina Jolie? Does he have more information than the nightly news?
Can he jump like LeBron James?
Can he catch a ball like Terrell Owens? No. Until the answer to that is yes, I'm not leaving the house.
So, Dave,
yes,
if someone asks you,
my phone will ring busy until that day.
Dave, if someone asks you, what are your hobbies? What do you usually say?
TV.
Okay, but when I say that, people look at me with this disgusting look on their face. I don't have hobbies.
Well, you know what? You're young and attractive, and people look at it as a waste.
You think?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Who looks at that? That's perfect.
Well,
mold
you're looking
mold
at
your mind, yeah.
Looking at through the retarded prism of your eyes.
But I don't watch too much sports, so I think that's where we would all three of us would end up breaking
up.
Well,
that's why we all have separate houses and don't know we're dating. I like to think I got it first, by the way, Dave. All right, where were we? Yes.
That's big competition too, but so there's
yes.
First of all, Anastasia, the surfer lady, and her and her boyfriend, conflict there. Then peacemaking with Dr. Drew, reunion.
Right.
But of course, then the big contest for the Gibson guitar.
Yeah, we have a Gibson Les Paul guitar worth $1,400.
It's nice looking, black.
We're gonna have. Do we have the now? Can you play this? I hope you can play the song that we're talking about here, Mike.
I didn't have
give people proof. It's
well, that's
here.
Fine. But now you need to put the guitar down, and we need to hear the song that we're going to play, right?
Mike Lynch likely to play something by Fish.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He was pretty good earlier this morning.
Gabe Bill reaching for the CD. Stunned that the show starts at 6 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, here's the deal. We talked to a bunch of people yesterday, and we had them play their favorite guitar licks into the phone. That took a while. I told them they had to play this song. Right at Bill's fingertips. Just had to run out to the car real quick and grab it. Hocus Pocus by Focus. They're going to come in to the studio, and they're going to play this song live for us. Whoever does the best job is going to give themselves a Gibson Les Paul guitar for $1,400 worth. Also, we're giving away Kid Rock tickets, right? That's tonight.
Yes,
Fresca?
So the winner will also get backstage passes to the Kid Rock show, as well as front row tickets. Mm-hmm. And all the contestants are going to win
some
tickets.
All the contestants yesterday called in, played one of their favorite guitar licks to earn entry into this, into these finals.
Right.
And they all get tickets already.
Yeah,
they got Kid Rock ticket holders
right
now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now they're going for the backstage passes and the guitar.
I see.
Reminded me of something. Just leave this song on. I could really hear this. I could get this woven into my TiVo experience somehow. We were laughing yesterday because I was talking to Big Tad. I ran out during the commercial and I said, Big Tad, find out what year that Focus song, Hocus Pocus, this song was made in. And he's like, all right. So he had to hop off his WWF website. And he came back in here 5 minutes later, and he said, the band formed in 1970. It's fantastic. What year was the song from? Oh, yeah, that's right. And he ran back in. Ooh, that's me on the Skins. And he ran back in 10 minutes later, and he said, the band broke up in 1977. And I said, that's fantastic. What year is the song from? And he went, oh, hold on. And he ran back in, and then he came back in, and he said, 1976. And I said, wow, that's later than I remember. I thought it was earlier than that. And then 5 minutes later, Brusca came in and said, it's 1972 or 1971 or whatever it is. But the bigger picture, and I've been yelling about this many times. I turned down a little, I'm getting a headache. But still, a stone jam. The bigger picture I really realize in life is much like, you know, I always say, it's really 2% of society that is ruining society for the rest of us. The reason you have to have a deadbolt on your front door and bars on your windows and you have to worry about passwords and codes for everything because there's identity theft and all. It's not because society's bad. It's because there's 2% that we have to build society around the worst society has to offer. Now, Bruss, I don't know about Brisket over here, but anyone else in this room is never going to steal a thing from you, ever. Dr. Drew's coming in. Deborah Norville's going to be on the phone. Anastasia, Ashley, the beautiful surfer. Look, if the world is populated by nothing but these people, then that's it. You leave your car window open, you leave your briefcase on the hood, you leave the keys in the ignition, and you go into work. And when it's hot during the summer, you leave the front door open, just a screen. There's no IDs, there's no checkpoints, there's no anything. There's no passwords, no, we're all fine. But it's a couple percent, and we have to build society around this. I now realize that's sort of how it works in life, too, and in work. That there's a couple of people that do their job amazingly, and then there's two or three people you have to have the same conversation with over and over and over and over again. You'll notice I have no V8 or water in front of me because that happens every 4 days, and then the fifth day I don't get it, and then it happens 8 days in a row, and then you miss it the other day.
Then you ask Tad about it, and then he gets wounded.
And every day is a new thing, but it just struck me yesterday, and you guys tell me what you make of this. I was over at Jimmy Kimmel Live. I was shooting a bit, which is going to air tomorrow night when I do his show. And it's Osama bin Laden. The guy dresses Osama bin Laden, and I'm getting into a fight with him. Now, the guy seems to be of some crazy nationality, but he speaks perfect English, even with no accent. And there's a fight coordinator, a stuntman, who's trying to sort of coordinate our fight. And he says, Osama, Adam will put his back to the camera. They do that thing. You throw the right hook, you throw the left hook, and then finish with the big right uppercut. And you just go by his head. And he said, now, because the camera is to Adam's back, go ahead and miss by a fair distance. You don't have to get close. Adam, you just throw your head to the side, throw it to the other side. All right, so of course he does it. And you know, I box. I know what a close punch is. I'm not squeamish about getting punched. I could feel the guy's sleeve scrape by my nose. He was wearing sort of a frock each and every punch, and he looked a little wobbly. Like, he didn't look like he could control himself very well. So, of course, the stuntman got in, and he said, whoa. Step back. There's no reason to come that close because the camera's behind Adam. You can come a foot and a half away from him. Let's try it again. Well, the same thing. And same. Now, at a certain point, I started to say to him, look, just pull back. Step back. And, you know, he's throwing these sort of wild punches, and then the uppercut would come flying by, and he was sort of not, you know what it's like when you're trying to deal with a crazy person sometimes, and they're sort of wiry and weird and everything, and you're not sure what they're going to do. You think you're going to get stabbed with a ballpoint pen. It was that kind of thing, you know? And the point is the stunt man intervened 9 times, and I brought it up 7 times, right? Look, move back. Stop. You don't need to be that close. He was stepping forward each time, and he would keep inching to a point where now I'm now off the mat, and he's pushing me forward and stuff. He was told 11 times total, maybe more. And at a certain point, just for a joke, I announced this loudly so everyone could hear. Listen, Osama, after another near brush with death. Osama, maybe we didn't bring this up, maybe you hadn't heard, but you don't have to punch that close to my head. And each time he heard it, every single time he went, okay. Actually, you got to worry about the people that start answering too fast. Like, Dave, you tell me not to punch too close to your head.
Okay.
Look, I'm guessing you don't know what I'm telling you to do based on my first syllable. I'm guessing you don't know what direction I'm heading based on a syllable and a half that's coming out. Please wait till I'm finished. Yeah,
I got you.
I'm okay, boss. Then that never happened again. This guy, so the point is I told him 10 times, the boxing guy told him, the stunt coordinator told him 10 times, and the last take we did, he was never closer. And I just go, you know, it's just that sort of thing in life. You just chalk it up. Well, that's him. But you really think to yourself, like, I think of myself as I'm driving home. Does he not hear what the guy's saying? Well, that, no, he has no physical problem with his hearing. Does he not understand or speak the English? No, he was able to take direction. He was able to do left, right, left. He understood that. And every time the guy came in and admonished him and said, look, please stand back. You don't need to come that close to him. Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I got you. And then he did it every time. And I just realized that's life, everybody. There's two of those guys sprinkled in with every 20 of you. And that's where all the attention needs to be focused each and every day. That's where all our combined energy needs to go. It's not Brian, the phone screener. It's not Brusca. I'm just saying that because he's in the room. It's that dude. It's Osama. That's where we need to focus. And we're worried about the real Osama, but I'm worried about all the little Osamas floating around here stateside. That's where all the focus needs to be turned to.
I can't wait to see the skit tomorrow. When is it airing?
Oh, look at you. God bless you. No, it is tomorrow. We're going to do it tonight, but I'm doing the show tomorrow night instead. So it'll be on Jimmy Kimmel Live tomorrow night.
Reunion week.
That's right.
Carolla gets with Dr. Drew this morning. Tomorrow night, his old pal Kimmel. And talk about reunions.
Yes.
Look who's in the studio in the green room.
Professional surfer.
Anastasia.
Number one surfer, 19-year-old Anastasia Ashley. We'll bring her in. We'll bring my arch nemesis, Osama boyfriend, in here. Oh, also going to play Round of Hobo Power? Yeah. All right. Oh, they're coming in to break after this one. All right. Hobo Power, you know how the game is played. You call up, tell me the stinkiest thing you've ever smelled in your life, and I'll assign it a number, a Hobo Power number, 1 to 100. Remember, 30's vomiting, 50 is a cat that's been fed nothing but blue cheese, defecating on a white-hot hibachi, and 100 is a hypothetical number. No man has ever lived, smelled up 100 and lived. Drew knows all about it. Anyway, Hobo Power after this. Hobo Power is a unit of stink measurement. You tell me the story, I'll assign a number. 100 is hypothetical. No man has ever smelled that and lived. And 50 is a cat that's been fed nothing but blue cheese defecating on a white hot hibachi.
One of my relatives works for a particular city here in Arizona, and I got to go do a crime scene with him. Mm-hmm. And it was towards the end of July, and we came across a 6x8 shed filled with between 10 to 15 dead bodies. And I say 10 to 15 because some of them had liquefied.
68 and a half.
Wow.
All right, well, that's how the game is played. And again, it was born out of necessity, really. It was sitting around, I think it was doing Loveline, the TV show on MTV, many years ago. My beloved partner, Dr. Drew, will be in later on this morning, hearing about, again, you guys all know about the horsepower, maybe the watts, temperature, things like that, but it keeps going in life. There's British thermal units and knots. There's all kinds of measurements for everything that moves and everything that is. And I mean, it just keeps, as you get deeper into the sciences, it just keeps going and going and going. They have a unit of measurement to measure everything. They do not measure stink. And that's where hobo power. That's the thing. I noticed there was a gap and I filled it.
Mm-hmm.
We needed a measurement for stink and I came up with hobo power because, like I said, people do that thing. Oh, this dude was rank. How bad did he smell? It was pretty bad. But you couldn't do that with a car. Oh, this new car is really fast. Oh, what kind of horsepower does it have? It's peppy. Mm-hmm. Well, how's that compare to my car is 250 horsepower. What's your car? I don't. It goes. Nah, it's no good. Mm-hmm. We can't measure it that way.
Right. Well, you've
like
done
a football
a lot of
game where we don't keep score.
We've got, we're now, what are we? We're not even 4 months into this show yet. You've already just renovated the airline industry with your music, the music they play in the headphones. That's some good you've done. Now you've created this. It's
now
really
hobo
so
power.
Much good you've done.
Vic?
Yeah.
That's right. The Grease Man never did this much in the 25 years he was on the radio. Vic, you have a story?
Got a story for you. First, I want to say, Adam, I love you. I've been listening to you for years. And Damashek, I don't care what anyone says, you are a funny guy.
That's right.
You're all right in my book, fella.
There you
Thank
go.
You.
Right, don't so care what anyone says. It's not anyone, it's everyone.
That's the part that gets me down.
Yes. Go ahead, Phoenix.
Here's my story. I used to have large snakes. I had, in particular, a Mexican boa, and I worked graveyard shift.
Mexican boa, by the way, sounds like a gay term. I gave this dude a Mexican boa last night. Oh, wow. I thought a dirty Sanchez was bad. You threw the Mexican boa on this cat. Woo. He's going to walk with a limp for a while, I'll tell you that. Yeah. So you had a Mexican boa.
Yeah, and I worked graveyard shift at this company. So I got off of work, went to the babysitter, picked up my daughter who was sleeping, and
mm-hmm.
I went home, opened up the door, and I got hit with this smell that I was just floored. And I got my daughter in my hand. I'm trying to set stuff down. I'm like, what the heck is that smell? Well, before I had left for work, I had thrown a rat in with my snake to eat it. Mm. And he didn't go after the rat right away, so I said, oh, big deal, he'll get in a little bit. I come home, I go look in the cage, and the rat's running around, and look at my snake. My snake's fine. I'm like, what's going on? So I lift up the lid and move stuff out of the way. I notice my snake has a big hole chewed in the side of it.
Mm.
What the heck? So I go to pick up my snake. Got holes chewed all over him. The entire 10 hours I've been gone, he's been laying on a heating pad. The rat ate parts of the snake, and he's been laying on this heating pad.
He's been cooking on the snake heater, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. It's bad. But I've smelled worse. I'm giving it a 22.
Wow, so low, 22.
The snake, it's encased in a terrarium.
But human flatulence has scored high teens in your book.
Let me just ask you this: do we need a terrarium and a aquarium? Can we just have one of those words? It's a glass thing that you keep stuff in. We need the aquarium and the terrarium. Let's just have one. You guys decide, but it'll just be one. The fish and the tank. We'll do the math. We'll know that the snake and the rats aren't swimming in water when you say it's in the aquarium. All right. The point is Is a terrarium an aquarium minus water?
That's right. It's the same. It's the same way that the shoe industry has duped so many with the idea that they're volleyball shoes.
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah, they're basketball shoes.
That's
they're,
right.
They're basketball.
The
shoes.
The whole goddamn game is played on a basketball court. Good enough for LeBron and Kobe. Good enough for you.
Yeah.
The 5'11 white guy who's trying to get a scholarship to Pepperdine. You'll be fine with
Kobe
shoes on.
These aren't the LeBrons. These are the Karch Karai specials.
My point is we don't need both. And the second point is people, first off, you should not have boa constrictors when you have kids.
Fair point.
I like the super ultra white trash who's a 20-foot python gets out of the terrarium and tries to strangle their toddler. They separate them and announce to the news crew they're keeping the snake. That's ultra super white. That is the whitest of all trash moves. And then the second thing is listen, snakes, if you're listening, please eat the goddamn rat while we're standing there, would you please? That's the only reason we got you. It happened. One of my buddies who went to San Diego State had a snake, and it was that thing. Oh, we're gonna feed him the mouse now. We're gonna feed him the mouse. What happens? You drop the mouse in there, and then you stand there and watch. You think it's gonna be a frenzy. What happens? Mouse walks around. Next thing you know, the mouse is sleeping on the snake. They've buddied up. They're out. They're riding a two-man bicycle. They're dating at the next point. You come back an hour later. They're still sitting there. The snake hasn't moved. And then you go to bed and you wake up and the mouse is gone. But they never do it while you're watching. I know they hate us as snakes. They're snakes as snakes, Mike.
Hi. Excuse me.
What do you got?
Surprise.
That's all right.
My story is years ago, when I was going to college, I was working at a zoo in the summers in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this farm in the zoo in the middle of the city. Mm-hmm. And it's a working farm. They had a dairy barn there. And they had a bunch of different cows, and we used to milk the cows. And they had a pregnant cow that was went into labor the evening before. We just thought it was a normal birth. We moved it over to another stall so it can give birth. We came there in the morning. The cow was down. It was summer in Chicago, hot, humid, closed.
It does stink. And, excuse me, I've been to that the Lincoln Park Zoo. It's out in the open. You just walk through it, and it does. And that humidity, it stinks something awful in July. Yeah,
absolutely.
All right.
So we get in there, and we find the cow, and the cow's down, and like a hoof is sticking out. Ooh. She's only gotten to a hoof.
Yeah.
So they get the vet crew there, and they have to start working to pull the calf out.
Mm-hmm.
Unbeknownst to us, the calf was, we found out that the cow was twinning.
Mm-hmm.
She had twins, which was unusual.
And I got one of them at home.
The calves were dead, had been dead for a while, and were cooking in her.
Oh.
And we're pulling out pieces of rotting with the cow manure. And I mean, it was just an amazing story.
Now, how close were you to the cow's V? If in fact
less
they have
than a,
them.
You know, I mean, less than a foot. I mean, pulling.
Wow, you were pulling.
Yeah, a bunch of us. There was a bunch of us.
No masks, no rubber gloves, nothing like that.
No mask. No, not in those
summertime.
Days.
What time was it? How early in the morning?
Oh, it was early. It was like 8:30.
8:30, because I would have added a couple of points if it was 2 in the afternoon, you know. When the
but you have to add that the barn was sealed all night.
Okay, all right, that's good. And because I love a veal cutlet, I'm going to add on 8 points because now this is soured me. I will not eat veal for another 3 hours. I'm gonna give it a 59.
Good enough. Don't forget 2 of them.
Okay, make it 61.
That is worse. You got to put that into the high 60s, low 70s, because imagine you're getting the first one out and the stench you're dealing with. You think, we got to do it all over again in a second. That deserves a higher score.
Yeah, we'll do one more. Dead moldy body in bathroom or girlfriend?
That's it? Just says girlfriend?
Well, let's see. Jason?
Yeah, I'm here.
Las Vegas?
Yeah, Adam, what's up?
What do you got for me?
Okay, this happened back at Forest, Oklahoma when I was in the Army in 99.
It's good.
It's Friday night. You know, we always go out on Friday, you know, Saturday nights, always get drunk, come back to the barracks. In the barracks, you have 2 people in each room, right? There's no closets, 4 walls,
mm-hmm.
2 beds, and a footlocker, and that's it. So it's probably around 2 o'clock, because that's when last call is in Oklahoma. I'm home, I walk in the barracks, I go to my room, I open the door, and the first thing I see is my roommate and this girl going at it on his bed.
Mm-hmm.
And this horrible, awful fish smell stench. I'm not kidding you, man. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
I couldn't, and right away I knew what it was. And it was a thing between her legs, man. And it stinks so bad.
It was a dead calf.
Yes.
Yeah, I swear to God,
well,
I think something crawled up there and died.
Well, listen, Jason, I understand we've all run into hygiene problems before in the military. I'm gonna have to give you a 27. Now, if you want to get your roommate to call in, he'll be in the low 70s. Do you see what I'm saying? You walked into the room. Again,
proximity is what you're saying.
Proximity and contact. We've all walked into a horrible porta potty, porta sand during the summer at some concert or some event. That's horrible. But you fall in, your score's going through the roof. You know, you open the door, get a whiff, and oh no, thank you, and slam the door and keep walking. Hey, maybe I'll give you a low 20s, but you tell me the floor gave way and you went in up your eyeballs. Now I got some tabulating to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Speaking of tabulating. I don't even know what that means. Anastasia Ashley. Anastasia Ashley is a super smoking, piping hot pro surfer girl, 19.
Beautiful young flower.
She's got it bad for the ace man because I think I caught her during her formative years. She must have been 13, 14, 15 years old, sitting around watching MTV, seeing me and Dr. Drew, who'll be in later on, dispense the advice. Probably fell in love with me back then,
young
and now
girl.
It's seared into her brain.
Now she's a woman.
Now, yes, she's at least one woman. She's coming in here. We decided to bring my arch nemesis, her boyfriend.
Well,
no,
he was
nothing
upset.
Personal.
He heard. He listened in like the rap, but he was steamed when he heard. He said, "What gives? I thought you were mine, but I didn't realize your heart belonged to Corolla."
Well, we'll bring them in. His name is coincidentally Adam, so I'm going to tell Anastasia. You know. It's like moving to a new house with the same address as the old house. Not so much paperwork, not so much to remember. You know what I mean? You go from Adam to Adam. Not a big leap. Easy and smooth transition.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We'll bring these two in here. Get to the bottom of it after this.
I used to watch you when I was like 12, 13.
There they are. The two Adams in her life.
So I used to watch Love Line a lot. And
one's her boyfriend. The other one has a wife.
Yeah, and it was naughty.
But the boyfriend doesn't know. Anastasia's slipping out at night and waxing up the ace man's board.
I wasn't allowed, I don't think, to watch, but I'd watch.
Taking it for a ride. Well, she fell in love when she first saw him on Love Line.
Yeah, I always thought you were really funny. And
infatuated. Now they're banging all the time.
I don't know, just a great personality.
When she's making love with her boyfriend and cries out at him.
Yeah.
She means Corolla. Adam Corolla. He's always on her mind.
Yeah.
Don't blow this.
All right.
The secret love.
Powerful. Is this Rich Banks? Nice job, Rich. For a change, you're right on the money. All right, let's reset. Anastasia Ashley's here. She's 19. She's a professional surfer. Some say the best. I don't care what she does offshore. It's what she does on terra firma that I care about. Terra firma would be a good porn name for you, too, if you ever went that direction. Anastasia Ashley is in studio. She brought my arch nemesis, Adam Talkie, her boyfriend. Now listen, Adam. I like this to go as nicely as possible, and I'm sure you would, too.
Sounds good.
It's just, you know, you've had your run, but there's a new sheriff in town.
Uh-oh.
I'm up to a duo here.
I was going to say his name is Adam, but then that would be confusing. Mm. So, his name is Mr. Corolla, and this is just, here's the whole thing. My clock is ticking biologically. You know what I mean? I'm heading toward menopause, as I call it. I have hot flashes, mood swings, and a craving for 19-year-olds. That's how it goes. Now, you know, my wife, my ex-wife, as I call her now, pregnant with twins. It's just, this window's going to close for me very soon, you know? I'm going to have Dr. Drew, I just saw, walk into the next room. He talks about erectile difficulties. I'll have ED. I'll have all this stuff coming up. God knows when. So for you, you're a young man.
Yep.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
Whole life ahead of you. Go out, travel. travel and don't come back. No, see the world. Meet different women. You know, that's the thing. At your age, you should be with different people.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, yeah. You should really be experiencing what life has to offer. Leave Anastasia to me for just a couple of decades. Let's say till she hits 30 and I trade her in. And that'll be that. Then you two, hey, man, if it was still meant to be, you two get back together.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Well, now that Dr. Drew's here, he can be
the counselor here.
He can help. He can help Adam Talkie get back on his feet. And the thing to keep in mind, Adam Talkie, is you know, I don't think I'm third party to it, but it wasn't meant to hurt you. I mean, it's just something that sort of happened.
It's nothing personal, dude.
You know,
really?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I'm weeping over here. You
I
know?
I didn't mean to hurt you. And Drew's opinion is not valid, by the way, because he disgusted me once, and I lost all respect for him when he explained that cheating was a personal attack on his family. And I said, even if we went to Canada and you just got some oral from a stranger in the back of a limo, and he said, oh, yes, it would be a personal attack on my family. And I said, you disgust me. You sicken me. Get out of here. And that's the last time we ever went there. But Anastasia, we'll let you speak for a moment. What do you think? What's going through your mind right now?
You know, it's like I feel torn. You know,
right.
Here's, you know, the guy who I've seen since I've been 16 and, you know, even younger, like 12. And then, you know, I never really thought that I'd maybe get the chance to meet you or, you know, that's maybe why I strive so hard to
be
a great
difficult.
Surfer so I could
I inspire you.
Eventually, you know, get to this level to come on the show and talk to you and stuff. But
well, a lot of people need a muse. A lot of athletes need somebody. For a lot of people, it's their, you know, Oscar De La Hoya's mom died when he was 17 and he won the gold for her. For other people, it's guys who do MTV shows late night with nappy hair. Whatever moves you, whatever motivates you. The point is I'm your angel that's on your shoulders. Yeah. You're out there carving up the waves, right?
Yes, you watch over me in many different ways.
I got to be honest. We all know what it's like to be young. You think it's going to go on forever. You think this is the one. And then 6 months later, you're on top of somebody else, Adam.
No.
Yeah.
You're married. You know how it is when you find the one.
Yeah, right. But I was like 32. Do you understand? You got a few more years.
Adam Talkie, by the way, I think that's a pretty low blow, bringing up the, you're married.
Crap. Yeah.
That's the lowest the lowest.
Cheap shot.
Yeah. What a low. Don't be a low life.
I know.
Yeah, come on, buddy. Be a buzzkill over here.
I know.
You're harsh in my mouth.
I want to see some fighting.
You see a little competition?
I want to see some competition. I want to see some gauntlet style.
Yeah, you want us to go
a duo.
At it. Yeah, yeah, like a duel like in the old days. The damsel.
Yeah.
See which knight came out victorious.
Yeah.
Well, we can do a few things. We can just do some trivia, something like that.
Let's do a little, how about that? Yeah,
when
it comes to fisticuffs.
We can punch. We can punch the Hooters punch machine over there to see how we score.
Well, Anastasia, who do you think would win if this actually happened? Mm-hmm. The two Adams.
Well, you know, that's a tough one because I think Adams, my boyfriend's really smart, and I obviously Mr. Cole is very smart as well. And so I think it'd just definitely be a good match.
But it's a duel. It's going to come down to physical power.
Mm-hmm.
Physical and mental.
But let me tell you, I'm fighting like a wounded animal. I got nothing to lose. You understand? I'm hungry.
Back to the wall.
You're going all for it.
Yeah.
You know what we could do instead? We could have a simple cook-off and cook our way into her heart.
What kind of seasonings will we use, though?
We will use Amazing Taste seasonings.
What is this Amazing Taste? I've never heard of this
before.
Those
are the little red packets of food seasonings made for specifically for beef, poultry, seafood, and burgers.
And winning my heart.
And those are what will win your way into Anastasia Ashley's
heart. This is your
heart.
Company.
This is my company. They're sold at Ralph's, Albertsons, Food for Less, Stater Brothers, around Southern California, and nationwide in many other stores.
Well, look, you can't, this is a wonderful product. I know they say variety is the spice of life, but ironically, spice, not the spice of life. Boring!
Anastasia, this talkie has devoted his life. He has no time for you. He's devoted his life to this business.
He's devoted his life to cinnamon and paprika. Yes.
No, CEO.
You're not a CEO or big time?
I'm the co-founder. I founded it alongside my father Ghazi Taki, who is has a PhD in food science. He has spent his whole life developing and creating new products in the food industry. In 1996, we went and wanted to create a new product. People were coming to us wanting something different, something for today's generation, for the changing times and technology, and we created Amazing Taste.
Yeah, you were 12 at the time.
I was in sixth grade. I went on my first sales call to Stater Brothers Supermarkets.
All right, Talkie, enough about spice. Here we go.
Spice, we can talk spice all day.
Let's go. Let's do this. First,
if Anastasia wants spice, I mean.
Well, what do you think of that, Mr. Cola? You want to give me that spice?
What's that?
You want to give me your own spice?
Yes. I have, ironically, Old Spice. Yes. my own batch just saved up for you.
All right. Let's see who's got the sharper wit, the higher intellect. All right.
Uh-oh.
A little trivia question. Okay. A little trivia contest. And Talkie, you just yell out Talkie when you have the answer.
Ironically.
Corolla, you yell out Anastasia.
Okay.
When you
I think
you
know how to do that, right?
Yes, I yelled out Anastasia last night in the bathroom.
Let it begin. How many cubic inches in a 5-liter engine?
Anastasia!
Corolla.
302.
Yeah. Wow, correct. Okay. Corolla leads 1-0.
This could be a rig.
What luck, a car question.
Wow, well, okay, let's move on.
I heard you liked cars.
No more car talk. Maybe you're right.
Okay.
Okay. What rolled insulation would one use for 2x6 studs?
Anastasia.
Corolla, I think, got in first.
R19.
Correct. Wow.
Good job.
Talkie, you better pick it up here. Here's one. Here's to be fair, for Talkie's sake, mm-hmm. here's one about his favorite thing, his mm-hmm. passion. Spices. Ready? What is Adam Carolla's favorite spice?
Amazing Taste food seasonings.
Incorrect. Corolla, your chance to steal.
Cumin, just because if you read it, it looks naughty.
Cumin. Who knows what that is?
Anastasia knows what it is, or she's going to find
it.
Out.
I mean, well, that would seem smarter, at least.
Thank you. Well, you know, Dave, you tried to hand the kid a softball with a spice question, but he struck out.
I figured that was his wheelhouse. So.
What else can we do for the boy?
Yeah. I don't know.
Wow. Well, all right.
Well, Adam, I actually wanted to tell you that I actually got nominated for the Sexiest Vegetarian contest, so I want you and everyone out there to vote for me.
Oh, really? Now, why do we have to vote for you? Who are you up against this year?
I'm up against Pamela Anderson.
No, oh, that old bag. Forget about her.
Avril Lavigne.
No.
Melissa Milano.
Mm-hmm. No, you're the sexiest.
Thank you.
Well, Avril Lavigne has an attitude. Melissa Milano acts like a poop don't stink. You're sweet. You're humble.
Thank you. Well, I want to prove that I can beat all those girls.
And plus you do something. They just hang out. You're a surfer. You give something back to the community.
I do, and surfing. I give something back to you, too.
Yes. Yes.
Twice.
I'll get you back on the meat. All right.
10-1?
Anastasia.
She don't eat the meat, but she sure loved the bone.
All right. Come on, Dave. Now you've crossed the line. Adam Talkie. Go out there. I'll give Adam, just for being a good sport, Amazing Taste. Go out and get those spices. Anastasia, you're welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the program. Anastasia Ashley, go to PETA.com, put in a vote for her Sexiest Vegetarian of the Year. We will take a break.
Oh, and also we need a caller to play for a Hooters gift certificate, too.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, we're playing NBA player or tech stock.
Oh, that's back.
Yes.
Exciting. In news and sports, Deborah Norville is calling in Dr. Drew in the hizzy. All that after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Deborah Norville is on the phone from Inside Edition. Dr. Drew is waiting in the wings. Also, Dr. Drew and Deaf Frat Guy going to combine to give out some advice a little bit later in the show. We have our Gibson guitar giveaway rock off coming up. It's all ahead on the Adam Carolla Show. Deborah?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Deborah.
I'm happy to be on your show.
I'm happy to have you on my
Thank you.
Show. that is. I've said many times that I think Deborah Norville is one of the hottest women on TV and sort of flies under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, I guess I have lately.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean that as a backhanded compliment.
I'm not front page like I was at one point.
Well, I don't mean under the radar in the news department. I mean under the radar in the hottie department. Quietly hot.
Go to my website, dnorville.com. Tell me if you like the new pictures.
Oh, I've been there, babe.
You did? Recently?
I'm there every night.
Oh, no, you're not. I mean, you never email me.
So I always say I'm going to.
I hear you clicking on right now. You're typing up.
I say I'm going to, and then...
You just get distracted.
I get distracted. I get caught up in your beauty.
Yeah, right.
I get sucked into your eyes. Deborah is, of course, the host of Inside Edition. And we were talking yesterday, not you and I, but the staff over here, about Maury Povich and how we thought maybe you two know each other just because of the years you've been in the business and the MSNBC. Is it MSNBC connection?
No. Way far before that. I mean, they came to MSNBC just this year, and I left a year ago from doing my show there. No, actually, I've known Connie since I came to New York, and in fact, I replaced Connie on NBC Sunrise, which at the time was the network newscast before the Today Show.
Ah.
Connie, she's very sweet. She sent me a little Tiffany address book that said, fill this up with all the names and numbers of your new friends in New York, which I thought was a really sweet gesture.
Right.
And,
her assistant did that, but go ahead.
No, it was actually Connie's handwriting.
She trained her assistant well.
She could copy the handwriting. But, no, I think the whole, you know, it's interesting. There's kind of, the way I look at this Maury thing, there's sort of two angles that I see. One is the woman lodging this $100 million suit is alleging that she was forced to, and I won't get the list right, but the gist of it is, you know, go to strip clubs and, you know, find guests and watch pornographic movies. And, and you know, at one point she alleges, I think, that they wanted her to, you know, unbutton her shirt so they could shoot her cleavage for B-roll for a story.
Right.
I wonder, did she ever notice the program they were putting out over the air?
I know.
It's pretty well in keeping with the product that they were creating on a daily basis,
well,
that she was a part of. It's a crappy show, and this was crappy stuff you had to do to work on a crappy show.
The real, you're a huge fan. The
in
real,
my opinion.
The real litmus test is you were around Maury for some time. Did he ever come on to you?
No, I've never been around Maury.
Oh, you've never been around just Connie?
No. Yeah, I've never been around Maury. I mean, we've met a few times.
Well,
I've never worked in the same...
He never came on to you when you met?
No, I mean...
Well, then he's not. Because it's not humanly possible not to come on to you.
Well, you're very kind. But no, we've never worked in the same, even for the same company.
All right. Well, screw Maury. But if we'd met in person, I don't care if we were at my grandfather's funeral, I would have definitely come on to you.
Oh, okay.
I just find you that beautiful.
Well,
I'm attracted to you.
Thank you.
All right. So the stories you have coming up on Inside Edition, I'm looking at them. We got
generally, the heading for all of these, or for many of the stories that we do, would be, if it weren't for stupid people, we wouldn't have anybody to talk about.
Yeah, we have the defibrillator prank.
That's not an easy word to say.
No, you know, you can say it, but if you try to read it, it'll screw you up.
Yeah, there's too many L's or something in there. Yeah,
an EMT killed his own coworker by hitting him with the defib?
Yeah, not hitting him, I mean, like, on the head, but taking the paddles and, you know, you see on ER when they go clear and they jolt the person back to life. It works fine if your heart had stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But if your heart is going as it's meant to, you knock the heart out of sync, and that's what he did. He gave this woman, I believe it was a heart attack, I'm not sure what the actual cause of death was, but he knocked her into next week. She went into a coma. She passed out. She was comatose for 3 days, and then she died.
Well,
and this guy is a trained EMT.
There are certain things I'd like to pass judgment on, but I realize if I worked, or Jimmy's cousin Sal worked, or Dave Damashek worked, or any of us worked around one of these devices, if we had one over at the Man Show, for instance, we would have immediately tested it out on anybody who came into the building. So it's hard to pass judgment on things. You know, it's hard to pass judgment on stuff that, if you're honest, you think, I would have done it in the first 10 minutes myself.
I don't think that even you would use something that you knew was going to kill somebody.
Well,
it's a joke. I mean, I just don't think you're
okay.
not that stupid.
Well, you underestimate my stupidity. All right.
No, I don't think I do. I just don't think you'd be that. And also, I believe you to be a literate man. I think you can read. Can
well,
you?
I can't pronounce defibrillator.
Darn.
Second
I
one.
That question.
Let's see. How about the cheerleader that fell 15 feet
Again,
from the pyramid?
If you fell 15 feet and mm-hmm. you landed on your head, mm-hmm. and you're still alive after this,
yes,
would you be doing cheers from a stretcher?
Well, I did see that picture, and I realized, though, I thought to myself, a lot of people's last words are, I'm okay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. I mean, you could be hit by a car and sort of stagger to your feet, and if your buddy said, are you okay? First words out of my mouth, even if my femur was sticking out of my thigh, would be, I'm okay, get me to the hospital, or I'm okay. I realize there's a certain autopilot that people are on. I'm sure people get heads blown off in battle, and the severed head says, I'm okay.
Oh, I can't even go there. That is so sick. People just drove their car off the road thinking about that visual image.
The point is she was on the stretcher, and she heard the get down, 2, 3, 4, and she just went into autopilot. Her hands just started moving along with the team. I like that.
By the way, Deborah Norville, if people really did just drive their cars off the road listening to Adam Carolla, that's some scoop for Inside Edition.
Well, there you go. And I'll be able to give a first. I was there when he described the talking severed head.
All right, Deborah Norville, everyone, here's what you do. Go to InsideEdition.com for the times. One of my favorite shows, one of my favorite ladies. Never get tired of talking to you.
You're sweet. I hope to see you in person sometime. Thanks.
Oh, please, whenever you're in town.
I will do that.
Don't come by the show. Swing by the house. Let's really get to know each other.
You walk all the time. You're never home.
Well, I can. I'll meet you.
We'll arrange.
Yes.
19-year-old Anastasia will whip you two up something to eat, maybe a drink or two.
That's right. Relax. Blow a little steam off. We don't always have to talk business. All right. Thank you. Deborah Norville, everyone. Inside Edition. Dr. Drew, waiting in the wings. But first, it's time for news with Claudia DeFalco.
Okay, about the love triangle between Charlie Sheen, Denise Richards, and Richie Sambora, you know, it looks like it's not even about the guys anymore. According to reports, Heather Locklear is livid that her ex-good friend Denise is now dating her soon-to-be ex-husband Richie Sambora. In fact, her last few words to Denise were that she never wanted to see her again, and quote, "It's like you've died, bitch."
Well,
I added the bitch part, but I'm sure she was thinking that. It's like you've died. Now, you guys have read this. They live in the same gated community.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a cat fight, and let's hope it happens and someone gets it on tape, who do you guys think will win?
I think we all win. I don't care
good
who
answer.
Wins. My groin wins. That's who wins. But look, you know this sort of thing where it's like, I'm never going to talk to Denise Richards again. She's dead to me. Well, look, unless you're effing her, do you really need to hang out? I mean, really think about it. You've heard her talk. You've heard her interviewed. Just put a potato sack over Denise. You can no longer look at her beautiful bosom and huge teeth and beautiful hair. No looking, just talking. Is that a big loss? Oh, that's it. Our days of brunching and sitting on and going on about your hair for 2 hours are over, sweetie. No more.
Debating the finer points of Proust novels now.
Yes, the guys that are with her wish they weren't talking to her. Just hump, baby.
On American Idol last night, sweet Southern belle Kelly Pickler got booted off. Here she is, as charming as ever.
I want to thank all of you guys for voting, all you Kelly fans out there for making this my dream come true. Thank God, everybody. American Idol, all the guys backstage, the crew.
She's sweet.
She thanked the crew.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
It'll be sad to see her selling meth in a few short months. I watched last night and I realized all is sort of right with the universe. For those of you who think the universe... And let me just get on my high horse for a second and explain a lot. Everyone does that thing where it's like, you know, I'm twice as talented as this person. Why are they making 10 times as much as me? Everyone has that person at work. For Tad, it's everybody, but everyone has that person at work that's going like, I'm so much more qualified to do this job, or I'm better, whatever. The Pickler thing really showed to me that the universe is fair and that the society is fair, which is she does not sing as well as whoever's left in the competition. But she has other things going. She's humble. She's cute. She has that southern drawl and all that kind of stuff. Once they eliminated all the people that didn't sing very well, then there was one left that didn't quite have the pipes. Not that she couldn't carry a tune or that I wouldn't like to watch her sing a song, but everybody left in the competition sings better than she does. And what did they do? Well, they got rid of Ace, who didn't sing as good as everyone else. And this week they got rid of Pickler. And that's the universe. It's ultimately fair. Once in a while, a cute chick makes it a little farther than she should because she doesn't have the chops or the pipes. But eventually, the universe sort of catches up. And maybe she got farther than she should have based on her looks, but now it's all been evened out, and everyone is left can sing.
And now there are just five left. It's getting really close. Here's a past American Idol winner, Ruben Studdard, commenting on who he thinks is going to win.
Well, I guess my pick would be Taylor Higgs.
Oh, and he's fat people eating. I was thinking it'd be ironic when I explain how the universe is fair if I'm killed by a piece of blue ice later on today as I walk the city streets.
Okay, the AP has reported that comedian Chris Rock hired celebrity private eye Anthony Pelicano to investigate a model who claimed that he was the father of her unborn child. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pelicano is part of a huge investigation right now for his alleged illegal wiretapping and racketeering on behalf of A-list Hollywood lawyers. Now, Chris Rock was married in 1996 and separated in late 1998. He reconciled, but the woman made the paternity claims in 1999.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now,
I'll tell you.
What do you think?
Well, first off, here's what I've learned. I've learned that brothers enjoy the ladies, and I don't care if you're on the Supreme Court or you're a stand-up comedian. That trumps all. I don't care what kind of family man you describe yourself as. Your brother first, and that trumps all. Number two, this Pelicano. When I'm in charge, every guy over 50 who dyes his hair black or orange and wears sunglasses during the day is going to be investigated. Because have you ever met one of these guys that didn't have something to hide? You always see him on TV. They wear the round. They look like Liza Minnelli's ex-husband. Guess. Any guy see wearing the round John Lennon spectacles that are dark at night with the hair dyed jet black? I'm just going to round him up and pull him in. I don't know what you guys did, but you did something. Same way, that's the white-collar version of the bad to the bone t-shirt guys I'm going to round up and pull in too. They're always guilty. They're always up to something.
By the way, Chris Rock, in case you're listening.
Oh, adding to the list, black guys with thin penciled-in mustaches, like Michael Jackson's dad. Joe Jackson, that's right.
Chris, in case you're listening, a report states that 70% of guys who say they are not the baby's daddy are, in fact, the baby's daddy.
Wow. All right. So he was married, but separated.
Yeah, that makes it all right, doesn't
it? Sure. He announced he banged a model. Called his wife, said they were separated, and got back together.
Smart. I'm Clyde DeFalco, and I'm done.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
I became hypnotized for a moment by the bronze left shoulder exposed by Clyde. Mm.
Same parts, baby.
She's now, attractive.
Now I shall plow ahead and later plow something else clean. Now, NBA! Kobe and his pals over in Phoenix to play Steve Nash and the Suns last night. Game two of their first round playoff series. Lakers take it 99-93. Kobe and Steve Nash both go for 29, but like I say, Lakers get the better of it. Lakers and Suns get it on again tomorrow at the Staples Center. Tonight in Denver, LA's best hope for an NBA crown this year. The LA Clippers in action, looking to go up 3-0 in that series. You know, I was thinking about it. Clippers and Lakers. I always castigate. I always have the people in Chicago and New York who like the Mets and the Yankees, Cubs and White Sox. I've always said, you have to choose one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Of course. That's the essence of sports. You have to pick a team.
Right. I like the Cubs, and the White Sox are my most hated team in the league.
Well, go ahead and expand it. I mean, California has eight teams, baseball,
you don't get
basketball.
To like the Dodgers and the Angels.
Yeah.
That's what I've always said.
Or the Giants, yeah.
Exactly. However, I'm going to go against that right now and say, I root for both the Lakers and Clippers. I'm going against it. I play by my own rules, and here's why. I live in Los Angeles, and I pay way more to live here than anybody else. I deserve two teams.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Dave's thrown out. You throw out the rule book when it comes to Damashek.
Everyone else, choose. But yeah. Me, I'm going to have fun.
Actually, you throw the rule book at Damashek. That's better than throwing it out.
Might knock me unconscious.
Yes.
And then,
it's a huge book.
Yes. Now, pastime. Dodgers lost again down in Houston.
Uh-oh.
Arizona Snakes.
Uh-oh. What are they?
They're not in first place.
Don't tell me they're 500.
Below.
One game under 500.
Below.
Two games under 500?
That's right.
Oh, now they're going to have to win the next two games so they can be at 500.
By the way, let me just tell you this. You say, like, all these games don't really mean anything. The Pittsburgh Pirates, my team, are 5-18. See, the games do matter. They're out of it. We're not even out of April yet, and the season's over for them. It's over.
5-18. And the sad part is they've only played 20 games. They started 3 in the hole.
Arizona Snakes beat the Padres at Petco Park. Barry the Creek Bonds hit another home run. 7-11. Giants lost to the Mets, though. I'm hoping that he hits four more home runs, gets past Babe Ruth in the all-time rankings, then jumps in the bay and swims off into the sea.
Yeah.
Goodbye, you creep.
There's a lot of talk.
Swim out the sea and be gone.
There's a lot of talk where it's like, well, people hate Barry because they can't stand the idea of a black man passing a white man in the home run. Well, didn't that happen 40 years ago already?
Yeah, we can't stand the thought of a cheating jerk.
Yeah, we were all right. Hank Aaron, everyone's okay with. That's the difference.
Yes, exactly. Halos whipped the Tigers. John Lackey, star of my fantasy team, pitched a gem. Athletics got past the Rangers. Mariners beat the White Sox. Now, it is time to play a game that has swept the nation. NBA player or tech stock?
I'm Marv Albert, and this is NBA player or tech stock.
Do we have our caller?
Well, we do. We have John. John?
Oh, hello, Adam.
John, you say you know the stock market well?
Yeah, I got the stock down.
All right, we're not interested in talking to you. Lisa.
Oh, a woman.
Lisa, you called to say you're a fan of Claudia.
Yeah, we had her on Channel 3 here in Phoenix for several years doing entertainment reporting, and she just disappeared, and I had no idea where she went, but I recognized her voice this morning listening to the show.
Well, she's resurfaced here at the Adam Carolla Show. Do you know much about stocks?
No, I don't know anything.
Fantastic, you're in. All right, listen, hold on. I don't want some J.O. who knows every stock. You tell him and can easily win the game. It's more fun for a novice, right?
I hear you. I hear you. So Lisa will be our contestant. It couldn't be simpler, Lisa. I will give you five names. They are either the name of an NBA player or the name of a tech stock.
Okay.
All right, if you get three correct, lucky you, you get a $50 gift certificate to Hooters.
Okay.
News ladies.
You will love it.
Love Hooters.
All right. The first name, Pamrappo.
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 NBA.
No good.
That's a tech stock, huh?
Marv Albert says no. Pamrappo is a bank corporation. All right. Number two. Let's see if you can get it back here. Orion.
Tech stock.
Rejected!
Wow.
Incorrect. 0 for 2. You will now have to get the next three.
So that's a basketball player.
Yes, Orion Green of the Boston Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
All right, please, Lisa, please. Best wishes here. You all set?
I'm ready.
All right. Macatawa.
NBA.
Oh, no. It won't go.
No good.
It's not like it went before, by the way.
0 for 3.
Is Marv on a satellite? Does he have a delay?
Yes, there's a delay. Yeah, he's all the way on the East Coast and everything. All right, just for fun, you've already lost the game.
If you get the next two, we'll give you the Hooters certificate.
You're very generous. All right.
All right.
Zarco.
In Texas.
No good.
Lisa, you're snake bitten. Everyone's a coin toss.
Yeah.
At least.
One more here.
All right. If you go 0-for-5, because that takes just as much skill as going for 5-for-5. True. If you go 0-for-5, I'll give you the Hooters gift certificate.
Okay. All right.
All right. Here we go. O'Donnell.
NBA.
Yes! All right. Oh, wait a minute. You got it right. Sorry.
That was bad. The one she was supposed to miss.
Sorry, baby. You got the wrong one right.
That's
all right.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I appreciate it.
Bye-bye, Lisa. Okay.
This has been Marv Albert with NBA Player or Tech Stock. I bid you all a good morning.
Good job. Nice job, Dave Damashek.
Well, Marv Albert.
Marv's a little slow on the upcue, but it doesn't matter. You did a fine job.
Thank you.
It was him. All right, Dr. Drew, my ex-old partner, Dr. Drew, reunited in studio. We'll be in here in a second. Also, Def Frat Guy and Dr. Drew are going to get together. You know, I think they're looking for a host over there at Loveline. Maybe Def Frat Guy will throw his sizable hat into the ring. Also, William Shatner, and I asked Bruska, is this some kind of BS comedian or something? No, the actual William Shatner is going to be calling in. Also, Peter Gruber, the guy who produced Rain Man and Batman and every movie that had the word man in it, and our Gibson guitar giveaway coming up. Still to go on the Adam Carolla Show. Dr. Drew. I miss Dr. Drew.
You smell different.
I've been with another man.
Quite a few, it looks like, here, too, as a matter of fact.
Well, I know the third one was Kimmel. I don't know who the first two or the fourth one was.
That. I've always accepted that. I mean, you knew that going in.
You knew that going in.
So to speak, yes.
Drew, did you punch your mic already?
Yeah. Just for, you know, to make you feel at home.
It's like old times.
Yeah.
Well, Drew and I did Loveline on TV and on radio for many years. And
wait, today's what? Today's Thursday? Yeah, 11 years. Yeah.
11 years. Yeah. So, Drew, first, your history. You're from here. You're from Los Angeles.
Yes, which I'm sure all your affiliates appreciate when you say from here.
Well, here, yes, here in Los Angeles. It's no secret I reside in Los Angeles. It was something we always had in common because I was from here, and we were the only two people we ever knew in show business who were from Los Angeles.
People never believe it, too. We'd say, no, we grew up here. What? You grew up in Los Angeles? And what you always gave me crap about was that I never crossed that continental divide, those hills between Glendale and Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
This guy lived in North Hollywood, the mean streets of North Hollywood.
Wow.
And regaled me with 11 years of story about how that was.
Dr. Drew graduated from the Lord Fauntleroy School for Albino Hemophiliacs.
I mean,
he went to a prep school that was K through
12.
I was going to say 13th. I think it even went longer.
Good.
Then right off to med school. But the point is even though we went different directions, I was cleaning carpets.
Well, I mean, that was an illustrious career. I mean, I was always jealous of that.
he was at Amherst and pre-med. We got together and we found common ground. I think the love of my voice was what initially attracted us to each other. But Drew, the thing about Drew and I proudly say this, and I say this with all sincerity. You think it's going to be a compliment for you, Drew, but it'll be for me.
Of course.
I've been partnered up with Jimmy Kimmel for many years and Dr. Drew for many years. I look forward to seeing each one of these guys just as much as I did the day I met them. I really do love both you guys, and I realize that's rare. Most guys that have partners hate each other, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. It goes on and on. Even those two magpies from the cartoon. Freaking frack. Hated each other.
Heckle and Jekyll.
Spoke to each other's publicists. Yes, Heckle and Jekyll. Use a publicist to communicate later in their career. Drew, what is the key to our magic?
You know, I think it was those little hikes to the bathroom we took together.
Mm-hmm.
This, Claudia, listen to this. We would talk. We had trouble telling when the mic was on and when it was off. And when the mic would go off, we would march off together to the bathroom. We'd urinate side by side.
Mm-hmm.
Adam would occasionally kick the toilet and break it because someone left the seat up or something. I forget how that worked.
Yes.
and then we would. This is the sick part. we would leave, get in our cars, and then get on the cell phone and talk all the way home like little old ladies.
Oh, you guys had a major crush on each other.
It was bad.
Yes, we would talk all the way through the show. Again, not doing the show, just using the microphones as sort of an intercom into each other's headphones.
Absolutely. A little walkie-talkie system. When I called my wife Adam, that's when she drew the line. That was it.
In the throes of passion.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yes, and then to the bathroom, and then... And by the way, that's why I go to the bathroom every single break. I'm walking with Drew's ghost. Drew always knew when I ate asparagus.
Oh, man.
He would freak out.
Oh, my God, the humanity. Does he pass gas for you guys here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's something to behold sometimes. No, normally, nothing. Nothing. Right? Completely without sense. Lots of noise, but no
startling.
Sense.
Yeah, it's startling.
Staggering noise.
Like, yeah.
But once in a while, he walk in with game.
Yes.
Oh, be careful. No, those days, Claudia, be careful.
So Drew started doing Loveline, the radio show, out here again in Los Angeles 2 years ago now?
83.
1983.
I know. And you always made me feel good about that by saying things like, if I'm still here in 15 years, kill me.
Well,
felt
I meant
good.
It.
Yeah, it felt great.
Yeah, and also doing it for free for the first how many years?
Like 8 or 10 years. Well, I thought I was doing community service. It was just, you know, a Sunday night show. It was fun. It was interesting and a way of sort of plying my craft. And it actually wasn't until Trip Reeve decided to lay it out 5 nights a week. That was the same week my wife got pregnant with triplets. And it was her busting my chops to go in and say no more community service. It's all work now. Get a job.
Right.
Then they paid me $50 a show. It was awesome.
Now he's up to $80 a show.
It's awesome. Thanks to Adam.
And what about the co-host for Loveline? What about whoever's
the best.
Taking,
yes, you've
taking
been the best.
Place.
Adam, yes.
I know.
You're
but
you're
who is, what are they doing about that? How are they working this?
They're sort of bringing it, there's a few people they're sort of looking at now finally.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's like 4 or 5 that they're kind of looking at. And it's just been celebrity co-hosts coming in.
It's their, I've not listened to the show since I've been gone.
I know, no doubt.
It's still on, is it?
Yeah, still on.
Okay. Is there anyone you can think of you'd like front runners?
I think they're looking at our buddy Carson Daly a little bit.
Oh, really?
They're looking at Joel McHale. They're looking at
good.
Bonaducci and Steve-O have been sort of discussed. A lot of people talked about it.
Steve-O sounds like a good week, maybe good few days of radio, but. There's this sort of thing where, wouldn't it be funny to get Steve-O to do a radio show or David Lee Roth to do a radio show? But after a couple of weeks, it's like, well, we understand. The whole reason it would be fun is the whole reason it's not going to work.
Right.
It'll be a fun train wreck for a while, but eventually these people have problems.
Anderson recommended a guy named Daniel Tosh. You know who he is?
No.
Funny guy. He's been So they're sort of like fishing around. It's, you know, we go on in the meantime. It's the never-ending train.
How could Carson Daly do it, though? He's doing a late-night show and everything?
I don't know how that works. I hear who they're kind of talking to and stuff. So.
What's the criteria? Are you looking for somebody famous, someone funny, or someone with actual experience?
Well, Claudia's obviously going to throw her hat in the ring here, given that no one can fill the great shoes of Mr. Carolla, no one.
Thank you.
Is that good? Is that right? Okay. Anyway, they're looking for somebody, with entertainment value, because obviously I have none. And so, really, seriously. And so they have somebody that's got to give the funny and the rhythm and all that kind of stuff. And so that's what that is.
You're doing the Lord's work. Also, I've been seeing you on the ED commercials, erectile discomfort.
I thought you'd appreciate
commercials.
That.
I do.
Thank God you weren't working me during all that. It would have been a never ending diatribe of abuse.
That's enjoyable. Also, now, it's not strictly sex anymore,
right? It's switching in July to Strictly Dr. Drew. That's going to be Tuesdays at 10 on the Discovery Health Channel. That actually, shows are very good. They really are going to be good.
I do watch those and do enjoy those. And back in June, you say?
July.
July.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Well, they both start with a G.
Whatever.
I know that much. Not that dumb. Thank you. Dr. Drew here in studio. Deaf Frat Guy is going to come in. And maybe team up with Drew. Throw his hat
team
in the ring.
Oh, my God.
Well, he can dispatch advice, and he's looking for a gig, and he's young, he's fresh, he's on the scene.
Not as experienced as Dr.
No,
Drew,
but he has been very helpful.
I just need street. I need somebody with street experience.
Oh, nobody has his finger on the pulse of young society more than Deaf Frat Guy.
No, he lives it every day, right.
Right. Also, I thought maybe we would bring Chief Thunderbear.
I was hoping for that.
Native American gynecologist.
Yes.
Drew misses Chief Thunderbear.
He's the one thing I I really have. I go to bed tearful about it.
Well, Chief Thunderbear is a Native American gynecologist. Doesn't speak a lick of English.
Only Choctaw.
Only Choctaw. But the point is a little Iroquois.
Little Creek, too. His grandfather was Creek.
The point is Drew speaks fluent Choctaw.
Of course.
And he will translate.
Okay.
He's an expert gynecologist. So if you have questions, especially of that nature, I know it's a little early for the gynecological questions, but call in. Dr. Drew will help you. We'll have Chief Thunderbear. Then again, Deaf Frat Guy coming in. William Shatner is going to be on the blower. Also, we're having our Gibson guitar rock off coming up all after this. I know the song, Miss You. I know it's appropriate because I miss my partner, Dr. Drew, but this song glows so much ass that I'm now getting angry, Dr. Drew.
Didn't take much, did it? Bloom is off the road.
No more overrated band than the Stones, and some of their stuff is just unlistenable. I mean, it's painful. Ugh. And as if the song wasn't bad enough and long enough, Mick just at minute number 8 just has to break down and start talking. Really? We need to make this a 10-minute dirge?
I got to tell you, Adam, I'm a little disturbed. Both Claudia and Dave, Damashek, said, you're like, really, Mr. Kroll? I'm interested in what you're saying. Let's get on the show. Let's get on. It's ridiculous. Come on.
I do miss the old days at Loveline when I would just look at the phone and the board op, and they'd just be staring at me with their wind-up beanies. And
steely glare.
And one guy would have his ass cheeks pressed against the glass. Drew, seriously, remember?
This whole thing confuses me. You have people running around here handing you things. Of course, you have your own coffee and your own milk. I recognize that immediately. But there are people like producing stuff and putting things all over the, all, like handing you things. It's crazy. Well, and then the way these two look at you, like you're some sort of a
yes. They sit up and they listen.
Oh my God!
They try to find
the
funny.
Disgusting! It's disgusting.
In a sea of words, they try to separate the funny and then laugh at that. Yes, at Loveline. We literally, everyone who worked there was angry, and I don't know how many fans of Adam Carolla worked there, but I'm guessing somewhere between 0 and -1, because...
Well, there was always the administration there who just told you constantly, shut up.
I was the only guy in the world who did a national talk show where the note was, stop talking.
Constantly, for years.
We used to get pulled into the program director's office twice a week, and it'd be, hey, Adam, stop talking. And I'd be like, well, it's not like we play music. Just please.
But the one thing you've not shared with these guys' stories about your grandmother, who I know listens and who I have dear, dear respect for.
Yes.
But we were saying we were going to educate.
Wait one second, Drew. Oh. I just before we move on, pass that hateful staff over there in Loveline.
Get you past that.
Remember Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit.
Oh, yes.
She was a phone screener. She got $4 an hour and had million-dollar attitude. She would come in, I'd be like, Tara, we need... It's not Tara, it's Tara. She would yell at me. One of my greatest exchanges with her is when she was watching the television set.
During the show.
Yeah, and I said, Tara, too many teenage masturbation suicide calls. We need more smelly hoo-ha calls. And she pointed at the TV set and started laughing in the middle of what I was saying. And I said, Tara, I need you to focus for a minute. And she said, I can watch TV and listen at the same time. I said, well, I'd like you to watch me. And she goes, you're not my boss. I think I am your boss. You can't fire me. I remember that
Look
one.
Look how far you've come. Now you've got Billy the sycophantic 17-year-old waiting for his marching orders.
I know. Yes, now my grandmother, Dr. Drew.
Yes, who was a sex therapist. Claudia was wondering if she was sort of an uptight and had trouble talking about sexual issues. And, well, no, quite the contrary. She aimed to impress at the dinner table.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Mine was uptight.
But listen to this.
She used to like to humiliate me.
She had one famous sort of pronouncement at the dinner table, a question for the table at dinner.
Oh, I even forgot about this one. Yeah, she announced at the dinner table about...
She had a question, right?
About 15 years ago, announcement.
She was 78, 80 at the time.
She's about 80. She said, anyone heard of a rim job? Now, of course, I was the only one at the table who knew quite well what a rim job was. And it was one of these things where... You're sort of trained to just chime in immediately. You all have that Jeopardy-like mentality when someone wants to know the capital of California, and you know it. You want to dive in. I started to, and then I just sat on it. So I had to sit there. My grandmother then went on to explain what it was and then announced she'd heard it earlier in the day and wanted to know if she was stupid for it. You know when you hear something that other people know, you have to ask other people? Am I stupid? Does everyone know this?
Right.
That was one. Another good one is when she sat me down at 17 and explained to me the dangers of autoerotic asphyxiation.
Nice.
That was comfortable.
You're fixing on that.
Yeah, we know you're gonna go at yourself. We know you're gonna masturbate. We know you're probably gonna choke yourself. Don't do it at the same time. Thanks,
Granny. By the way, when
the more you know.
Adam was living in the garage, using a decorative popcorn tin as his
receptacle.
Now, Drew, in your professional opinion, I mean, that was child abuse. Yes, when he was forced to live in a garage.
Yes, I'm glad you guys knew about
that. Wasn't that bad?
He's regaled you with his stories.
The other good one, the other great one with Granny is you'll remember this one, Dr. Drew. A few months after Grandpa had passed away, they'd been together for 45 years. Grandmother was in a deep depression. Remembering the good times.
This is immediately following his demise.
Probably a few weeks, yeah. She said, you know, it's hard because everywhere I turn in the house, there's something that reminds me of him. I open the closet, I see his overcoat. I open the cabinet, I see his glasses. I go into the bathroom, I see the vaginal lube.
90.
But, is there a vomit bag that he left behind that I can go ahead and fill right now, Grandma? Because I'll just go into the trash can.
I see the rims on those tires.
Reminds me of the rims and the jobs. Yes, there it is, everybody. My grandmother. Hopefully she's asleep right now. So, Dr. Drew, now that we've straightened that out, we were talking about getting Chief Thunderbear.
Yes.
In here, I know you miss him.
Yes,
greatly. He used to come into Loveline periodically.
Plus, I don't get a chance to practice my Choctaw without him around.
Yeah, you get rusty after a while. So you translate for the chief?
Yeah, I see a call up here that might be suitable for him. In fact, would you call him in?
And you've summoned the chief.
Yeah
I'll summon him. And you guys call us at 866-901 Adam if you have a question. Gynecological is nice, but any medical thing. He is board certified after all. Even if it's. If it was from a bear god, he's still board certified. We'll bring him in the studio. Chief Thunderbear!
And by the way, let's keep the racial stuff to a minimum here, Adam, can't we? I'm listening to some of the most uncomfortable radio.
We've learned our lesson, believe me.
Please.
Thunderbear!
Oh, there! Hey, buddy, how you doing? Yes, thank you. Thank you. He's blessing you. He's blessing everybody.
Hey.
Greeting. Yes, that's the way Damashek always looks. Yes. Yes, he blesses you, too. It's fantastic. Fabulous. Thank you.
Dr. Drew.
The bathroom's down the hall. It's down the hall, but after we talk. I'm fine. It's called Strictly Dr. Drew. It's on Discovery Health at Tuesday.
Adam Carolla, Wahakekeya, genius, and none of his show suck.
It's just not the same. It's just not the same.
Yeah, Nahekeke suck, then tell me what is.
Let's take some calls, Chuck.
Okay,
here we go. This is Kathy, I believe. Kathy is.
Hi, Chief.
Wait, Kathy, what was that, Chief? Do you have a boyfriend?
No, I don't.
Oh, that's what he was picking up on. Kathy, you're being sort of
wide load.
I know where you're going. Just be careful. But she's got that giggly voice. You know what that means, Chief?
No, I can't molested by Uncle.
Okay, Kathy, what's up?
No, wahene. Chicha Kayana.
She's all right. Okay, Kathy, what's up?
I actually changed my sanitary napkin from regular absorbency to a super absorbency. Is it possible that would just, like, suck all the water out and get me a yeast infection?
Crimson Tide.
Okay, he says, as the great orb rises in the west, I beg your pardon, so it is that the sanitary napkin may cause changes that keep going.
Toxic shock syndrome.
He's concerned about toxic shock. He's learned a little English since I last spoke
with him.
Okay, Chief, okay. So, on the reservation, they used to use sea sponges, and that was a natural way to do this, and that, don't get anybody any ideas. That would cause the dehydration, of course, the yeast infection. But no, changing super absorbency shouldn't cause problems. However, just about anything the chief says, anything that changes that environment can predispose to a yeast infection.
Yeah, hey.
And so say the chief.
Yeah, now check it, Chris. Yeah, well, yes,
Chris,
hey,
and, hey, how you doing?
Hi, Chris. Got you.
Hey.
He just blessed you.
Hello?
The chief was blessing you and your family.
Got you.
Okay. He's just a little German crept in there, too.
Smelly. It's funny that you mentioned smelly hoo-ha's, because actually my fiance's got that same problem, and I was wondering what causes it and how the hell do we get rid of it?
Okay, chief. Chris, you sort of frightened him. He's going into a little bit of a trance here. I think he's having a flashback.
Dead buffalo.
Okay.
Hobo power.
You know how sometimes there's quite a bit packed into another language. It can sound like just a little bit, but there's the colloquialisms of Choctaw. But in fact, he said quite a bit in those few moments. He's saying a prayer for your and he's also had mentioned earlier that this is caused by an overgrowth of bacteria. He mentioned something about the buffalo and the buffalo decaying and things. He just said that's the Indian way of saying bacteria, right? This is something you should tell your fiance that you heard Chief Sunderberg talking about, yes. And that he said you should see the gynecologist, that there's antibiotic creams and things to fix this, and it's something actually just bacterial vaginosis.
A Metrogel clothespin.
Just a Metrogel clothespin in the meantime. That would be easy to clear up, and bacterial vaginosis is actually kind of something worth looking into.
Chief Thunderbear, no go downstairs.
I know.
Doggy, wanna.
Same
to you. Chief, I'm not going to translate that.
Zohula, corn goodness. No downstairs, Thunder Bear.
I know.
No, Oaxaca.
I know, it's against your culture.
I don't care if it land a lake, butter girl. No, go downstairs.
I know, Chief. He's kind of making me think you speak more English than you lead me to believe.
Yahey.
That's Chris. Next, other Chris.
Hello, how you guys doing today?
Yahey.
I had a question about HPV, and I know that one can cause genital warts, and there is another kind, and I as far as I know, it's known to cause cervical cancer.
Wart, man, chief get wart when brave hump frog.
Chief, I know you see all these people around here looking at you and behaving as though they care about what you're saying. But chief, just keep it to the medical, okay, buddy? Keep it to the medical. And occasional prayer is nice, too. So what's the question about the HPV, Chris, the chief wants to know?
Well, my fiance, she had went to a gynecologist and had found out that she has it. She does, of course, not have the one that can cause genital warts. But what are...
Well, you don't know that. Let's ask the chief. Hang on. I think we're going to ask the chief to leave. He's lost it completely. Would you check? Is he smoking pot or something?
Cultural ritual.
I'm not judging. I cannot judge, but I can tell you you're high. All right. So, Chris, let me take this one real quick. Chief seems to be like in a hallucinatory state. He can certainly... Chief, if you'd like to bless Chris while I'm answering his question, that'd be... Okay, there we go. This calms him down. He goes into an altered state. And
understand.
Okay, Chris, here's the deal. HPV is the cause of cervical cancer. There will be a vaccine available very shortly against those viruses that you can't tell whether you have the one that causes the wart or the cancer. They all can do both. And, well, as far as you're concerned, until you have it isolated and typed, but that never happens. You just got to be sure to be regularly checked to rule out cervical cancer and realize she's always... Always contagious with this, and you now have it too, just by virtue of the fact that she has it.
Kick skank to curb.
So, everyone, keep an eye out for the vaccine. It's something that's going to take care of cervical cancer going forward. In the meantime, condom.
I caught a little of that. I really apologize. I got about the vaccine.
Yana.
Oh, Chief. Chris, Chief is insulted and angry, and he was busy praying for you. And
I appreciate it. Deer skin, more sensitivity.
HPV affects about 60% of people in young adults in urban centers particularly, so it's very common. You can't tell whether you have the one that causes the cancer or not. So if a woman has it, she has to get regular screening. And again, all you guys need to get the vaccine when it comes out. Of course, if you already have it, maybe too late, but it'll prevent further transmission.
Mm.
Okay, great.
60% urban setting.
Yes, I know.
110% in wigwam.
In your wigwam, Chief. I know. It seems that way because you're doing all that testing. Oh, Chief, you're giving me an anxiety attack today. I've got to tell you.
Yeah,
is this
Chief.
Thing on?
It's okay. I want to hit you. Done at you.
Oh, good. Okay, he's done. Yeah. And he says, praises you all. Blesses everybody. Blesses your family.
Fire Damashek. Not funny. Number two.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, buddy. It's been a long time. I'm sorry.
Rotten hell.
Come on. Let's go out to dinner.
All right, we will.
Not a check.
Whew. I was in the bathroom most of the time, but it sounded like the Chief was on his game.
He was, he gave me a panic attack. Speaking of which, you know how compassionate Adam is. We were doing Loveline TV one time, and I had a panic attack in the middle of the show. And I asked for a second to go.
Well, we would do three or four shows
four
a day.
Or five. We do more sometimes, remember? We'd always do four.
Four shows. Yeah. 4 1-hour-long shows a day. If anyone has worked in television, you know that's a fairly tall order. Yeah. We do a 4-hour show, so I was always anxious to get to it and get home, back to my beloved TiVo. Yes.
There wasn't TiVo then. That was just you and the
VCR.
Well,
then it was just me and the VCR. Yeah. Either way, I had to get the F out of Dodge.
And this one day we had John Favreau in there and a fight with him or something. Remember that? Cut his face a little bit.
His arch nemesis.
And
is
we
John
had a big
Favreau.
Fight. And the next man, we had some band in there who I don't remember. And I started having like panic. I couldn't concentrate. I go, hey, I need a break. I need a second. So I went in my dressing room, and Adam chased me in there and proceeded to say. Remember
well,
this?
I just remember that we're halfway into show three and we had to do 4 or 5 shows and the clock was ticking. I didn't get paid by the hour. I got paid by the show. So I went into Drew's dressing room while he was breathing into a bag and basically yelled at him to get his white ass
said,
back
you
on
said,
stage.
I have to spend one more second in this GD studio. I'm going to kick your ass. So get in there.
But it worked.
Yeah, we finished.
You went in, and, well, you didn't do the best show, I got to be honest, but you went back
the
in, and we're here.
How can you tell?
And who cares? That's right. All right, Dr. Drew in studio. We're running way late for break. Deaf frat guy is, we got to pear him up with Chief Thunderbear.
Oh.
There's a duo.
There's my paper bag.
William Shatner, also going to be phoning in. Much, much more to go after this.
Space, a final frontier.
My mic on? There we go. Isn't someone supposed to be doing that? Or is that just going on in my head when I used to watch Star Trek? Which I, by the way, called Star Trek for 21 years, and nobody in North Hollywood knew any better to correct me. I still hear people do it, but I have the quiet dignity not to say anything. Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew Pinsky in studio. Dr. Drew, of course, on Loveline, nationally syndicated in, close to 100 markets all over the country. And also Strictly Sex, or now Strictly Dr. Drew,
right,
on Discovery Health, which starts up in June.
July.
July.
Thanks for listening.
Well, we worked it out. Point is Deaf Frat Guy also in studio.
What's up, bro?
What's happening, Maverick?
Hell yeah.
50-year senior over at the Teak House at USC. Now, you guys, Drew, I know you went to med school at SC, so you
yes.
guys probably have much to talk about.
Much.
But first, we have the great William Shatner on the line.
Are you and Drew Carolla together again?
Yes, we are, Bill.
What a pairing.
Thank you.
It's better than peanut butter and jam. I tried to come up with something that was edible and audible.
No, it worked on both levels.
It was homey. It was nourishing.
Yeah.
You see?
Yes, I'm hungry, I'm satisfied, I'm horny, I'm everything that starts.
Ooh.
We're not allowed to say that, Bill.
You bleeped it, I hope.
Oh, we've tried.
Okay.
Speaking of horse ass.
Yeah, okay, very good.
William S. Shatner has himself a little Wells Fargo Hollywood Charity Horse Show, which is coming up this Saturday at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center. in Burbank.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, silent auction at 4. How does a silent auction work? Everyone
very
just,
quietly.
Everyone just bids. I guess it's right in the title.
You write down your bid. Well, here's the deal. First of all, you got to hear that this is benefiting two children's charities. Ahead with Horses is a riding therapeutic program, and kids walk who haven't walked, talk who haven't talked because of their association with a horse. It's the most dynamic, beautiful charity you've ever thought of. And Camp Max Strauss sends inner-city kids out to the country during the summer, and they get to understand the benefits of nature. It's a beautiful,
so it's
beautiful charity.
Both those charities. I have a charity where we take pets away from old people.
Well, that's good, because that incurs excitement and anger and frustration, and they live longer.
Yeah, nobody wants to rub up against a bony shin that's this close to the gray. You know, I think those pets deserve young, vibrant, beautiful people.
I'll be with you in a second. You're dissipating my message.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, William. And William, first off, a tip of the hat to you for what I believe is almost a complete renaissance in your career. It seems like you're everywhere now.
Yeah, I'm on the Adam Carolla show. I mean,
well,
that's
pinnacle.
It's certainly a height.
And I saw you at one of these AFI. I think it was George Lucas shows. I was actually in the audience when you were delivering your speech, and it was hysterical. And I wonder if people know how funny you actually are.
Probably not, because they don't laugh too much, but I believe they're laughing inside. It's a silent laugh, like the silent auction. They sign up and say, I'll laugh later, kind of thing.
I think they think you're doing a parody of yourself.
A parody.
When actually you're hysterical. So,
listen,
yes.
Just let me finish this message.
Sorry.
And then I'll talk to you
air.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Lyle Lovett. You know Lyle Lovett?
Yes.
He's a great artist.
Yes, he is.
He is, in fact, a great artist. He's coming to sing for us on Saturday night. There's 500 seats. I've sold 400 already. I got 100 seats left for this event, which benefits these charities I was telling you about. Lyle Lovett's going to be really fantastic. It's at the Equestrian Center. While all that's going on, there's a horse show going on. There's a comedy act by Tommy Turvey, who is one of the great comedy acts in horses. You laugh out loud, not silently.
He does equestrian humor?
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be seen to be believed. And you can get tickets at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center, and the number there, 818-840-9066, at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center. It's taking place this Saturday night. And just, if you will, let me mention a couple of names. Marilyn Jeffrey Katzenberg gave us money. Galpin Ford gave us a lot
good
of money.
Friends over there.
Priceline gave us money.
Mm-hmm.
John and Lynn Shane, tickets for charity, gave us money. And Marvin Markowitz's Factor's Famous Deli is giving us dinner. So for your money, you get humor, dinner, Lyle Lovett, dancing by Jack Lance's big band, and there's auctions, of course, stuff, and then all kinds of celebrities.
William, I want you to know, respectfully, that if this was the Oscars, the band would have struck up many moments ago.
But, I know,
but
I got to tell you, Adam, this is not the Oscars.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're
living in a dream world, and I can help you if you come Saturday night.
Well, how about you come into studio here?
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great. You spend the lion's share of your time out here in Los Angeles.
I'm in Los Angeles. I'm a Los Angelian.
Right.
Longer than you're alive.
You own an automobile.
A couple.
You can drive at least one of them into the studio here.
Where?
Well, we're at right here, right in the middle of Wilshire Boulevard. Right.
You got to get a roof over your head. It's going to rain today. You'll feel much better if you're under a roof instead of being.
I understand. Now we're in a building. It's all on the up and up.
You're making way.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you one more big fat plug, William Shatner, and then we can part ways, but again, only if you promise to come in the studio when you have something to plug.
I would love for you to interrogate me.
Yeah, I would love it, too. Bill Shatner, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it, and I would love to come in and talk with you.
Well, we'll make it happen this Saturday, Los Angeles Equestrian Center. Just go to www.horseshoe.org. Get all the information you need. All right, so the Deaf Frat Guy is here. You have a question for Dr. Drew, Deaf Frat Guy?
Dr. Drew,
I really have a crush on this girl named Ashley.
Ashley. Okay, mm-hmm. Got it. This is like the Chief Thunderbird again.
Yeah, which Ashley? Because I know there's a few.
How does he hear you?
You know, he hears.
What?
Lip reader.
Well, he's a lip reader. He can read. Reads my lips.
You're so busy breathing through your mouth. How does he? I know this guy does not breathe through his nose.
He thinks that sounds like an O.
That's what I'm saying. It all sounds like a sort of gibberish. All right.
Well, watch me. Yeah, Ashley. Which Ashley?
The Tridel one. There's mm-hmm. another one that is shaved down below.
Right. Not her.
This is the Tridel.
No, I like the Tridel. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I think if we got together, I would be like the pizza. And she would be the blue cheese dressing.
Where's the question? I mean, look at me. Hey. Where's the question?
The question is...
Where's the comedy is a better question.
He's not reading my lips. How does he hear me?
The question is...
He's reading your lips.
He was looking at you. Everyone's looking at you.
I'm going to give you a fat lip. Now shut up.
The question is, she got down with Moose.
With who?
Moose. My boy Moose, and she called him Quick Draw McGraw.
That made you feel better, right?
Because he was, I don't know if he drank enough or whatever. My question is, now, I want to get down with her, but now I'm worried if I do, she may make fun of me because I can't laugh that long in this act.
So she's going to talk about you the way she talks about Moose.
What do I do do I take something to last longer?
I know a lot of college people are doing that. That's not,
are they?
I do not recommend that. No.
Really?
Yeah, the people are doing that.
That's, do those things work? Do the like herbal ones and
no,
that kind of stuff?
No.
How about just for the placebo effect?
No. Oh, please.
How about when I use it to physically block my urethra? Yeah, I literally shove one in me.
When you use it as a suppository, like a cannonball, yes. It's like, yeah, of course.
Pack it in there with
that
a pick.
That feels really good.
Sure.
But no, in fact, you shouldn't be using the prescription medication unless somebody prescribes it, and no one would for just recreational purposes. Mm-hmm. So, and I know this is serious business for you. Oh, I'm over here.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was that?
I don't know. It's haunted.
Because girls like a guy that can last 2 or 3 hours.
Of course. Well, here's the deal. What's his name? Adam. What's his name?
Maverick.
Maverick?
His name is Jason.
Jason. Most women, and back me up on this, Claudia. Most women, Claudia may not be one of these. Yeah, more than about 10 minutes is just ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Most women.
And so, I'd say 30.
Of actual humping.
I'd say 30.
Okay, well, that's Claudia. Now, she's outside.
And it depends on the alcohol content.
Right, she's outside the spectrum. But you can bet that Ashley is probably in that more 10, 15 minute range. So if you can sort of clean the pipes a little bit beforehand and sort of you get yourself. Let's David Allen Greer.
Yes. That's right. If you can maintain yourself for just 10, 12 minutes, you're in the clear, is what Dr. Drew is saying.
Smitty says he can go an hour and a half, 2 hours.
They're
like a jackhammer.
They're those guys. And actually, those guys complain that it's, you know, it's hard for them to, you know.
That's right. We can't. I mean, Smitty probably has never felt the satisfaction in under an hour, and that can be frustrating.
And it can bug women. They don't like that.
That's right.
Claudia's exception, obviously.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a break. Dr. Drew is here. Deaf frat guy, Maverick, is here. They're going to tackle some of your questions. The average is 10 minutes. Claudia's at 30.
Yep.
It depends.
Uh-oh.
It depends when was the last time. It depends on the guy.
And
the
by the way, as you
content.
Know, it may mm-hmm. actually be 10 minutes. Just seems like 30. You know, 2 minutes
right.
in the ring.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. With me, it's like holding your breath. 2 minutes feels like a lifetime.
Moose says it's like the rodeo. It's the roughest 8 seconds of your life.
You have questions. Drew has advice, and he's teamed up with his new partner, Deaf Frat Guy, after this.
Trouble at work? Trouble at home? He's ready to listen. It's Life Guidance with Maverick, the Deaf Frat Guy.
Deaf Frat Guy, Maverick, fifth-year senior over at USC, Dr. Drew's alma mater. Although I'll tell you how P-whipped Dr. Drew is. His wife went to UCLA, and he's forced to cheer on UCLA when they play USC at the Rose Bowl once a year.
We live right by the Rose Bowl.
Whoops.
We go to all the games.
Whoops. That is
and
the ultimate example.
I didn't go to college there. I went to college back east. That's where my alma mater is.
Yeah, the ultimate example of P-whippage. That should be your rap name. P-whip. is he has to root on his arch enemies, the UCLA Bruins, every year when they come to the Rose Bowl. All right, now Dr. Drew, although I think that's their home field now. Dr. Drew is here, of course. They've not found someone to replace me over at Loveline. Maybe
you'll never be replaced.
Thank you.
Let's face it.
To fill my big stool over there.
You guys taking notes? You guys see how that works?
Yes. Little ass kiss rodeo.
But once in a while, don't look too sycophantic. You just, right. You know, just throw it something here and there.
We have Maverick, deaf frat guy. He is looking for a gig. He's going to graduate if all goes well this year.
But in therapist, no,
senior.
He's dispensed some nice advice over the last couple of weeks.
We thought maybe a dry run on our show. We pair you guys up. You get an air check tape out of
it.
Great
instincts, too. I heard him already, yeah.
Yeah, you bring it in and throw his hat in the ring. Yes, Mav.
Oh, his mic's not on. Good. This is good. Good start.
Yeah.
There we go.
Dr. Drew, what is the average size crank?
Bad. Most men are in the 5'6", you know, 5'6" range.
And do you measure it from the butthole?
That's the Corolla method. That's the Corolla method.
No, I go from the center of the anus to just past the tip.
That's the Corolla method.
It's not scientific. It's the way I choose to
but
do
it's,
it.
But it's become a standard.
Right. All right, so should we try to take some phone calls, see if you guys see how you work? You know, it's not only about the advice, it's about how you guys gel
chemistry,
and mesh.
Chemistry,
it's chemistry,
yeah.
Yeah.
You can see something's magic happening here already. Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
You ready to go, dude? AJ.
Yes, sir.
You have a question?
Well, first off, I just got to say how awesome of a show it is that you got Dr. Drew back in there. But I'm going to see how that fat guy and him work out.
Okay.
I've had a little bit of trouble finding the notorious G spot, and I was wondering if that's a fallacy, if it's easy to find, or what my problem is, and if that frat guy's got some advice for me.
The G spot, that frat guy. Do you know what that is?
It's in bar, right?
In what?
At the bar?
It's the name of a bar.
G spot? No.
Yeah.
No. Well, no, maybe, close. But it's also part of a woman, they say.
Oh, that G-spot. Use a potato gun.
You can't solve every problem with a potato gun.
Yes, you can.
Well, I don't know if we're off to a great start with this
I should understand what a potato gun is to be able to, you know, relate to what he's talking
about.
You
take some PVC pipe, you know, 2-inch bore, put a cap on the end of it.
Got it.
You fill the chamber, you light it, stuff
a
potato.
I can see why that occurs then when he's talking
about
women.
It's the close cousin of the Polish cannon.
Okay, got it. You know, Adam, you know how it is with men. You got to interpret what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, they have their own like agenda going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so what we've got here with AJ is what he's saying is he can't get a woman to climax through intercourse.
Uh-huh.
That's what's behind that question.
That's what I'm hearing.
And
too,
so
AJ.
What he needs to know is that most women don't do that, AJ, G spot or otherwise. That about 60% need some sort of direct stimulation in order to do so. And that if you're in that biological, and you can't switch one woman from one biological state to another. There are those that have no trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to sort of pay attention to what that person's needs are.
And perhaps
like not emotional?
Not try to solve her like a Rubik's Cube.
He's talking about oral. And I'm saying perhaps the potato gun could be modified to accommodate her.
I'm just saying, you're the expert.
All right. Sorry.
I never heard
of the potato gun until
just now.
Moose has his thing. How do you make a woman climax? Who cares?
I don't know if I agree with that. Let's talk to Jamie.
Yes.
Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hello.
What's your question? It says here you have a 4-year-old son who...
I have a 4-year-old son that thinks he's got to stick his finger down his penis.
What? Down his...
Down his penis?
Yes, he sticks his finger on the tip and pushes.
Oh, like a...
Yeah, but he's to no avail, right?
he's successfully done this twice now.
It's this. Mm. So he goes...
Yeah, so his ears blow out. No, when I was young, I got a piece of candy corn stuck in there, and I spent a few years trying to get it out, and my parents were confused as well. What do you think, Mav?
Shoot him with a potato gun.
You mean just to teach him, not to take, you don't want to take the boy down.
Don't shoot him, but threaten. Be there with the hairspray and lighter.
You know, true, what about
Jamie,
this?
It's normal for four-year-olds to goof around with themselves. It's when they start really sort of doing it publicly and excessively that it's a problem. And that's, my experience, usually a sign of some chaos in the home. Mm. The kid's trying to sort of feel better, regulate himself.
But what do you think about using Maverick's potato gun
Just the magic. I just listen to the magic here.
Tell the kid it's not a potato gun, it's a crank.
You know, they have Time Out for Toddlers.
Yes,
maybe there's like parenting with potato guns or Time Out for potato guns. All I'm saying is you don't have to fire the potato gun but a couple of times into your child. Eventually, you just get it out and he gets the message.
Teach him early, maybe with a baked potato that is softer so it won't hurt as bad.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's try one more. Infinite now I wisdom. See Kid Rock is on the telephone.
Take Kevin there. Take Kevin. I don't want to talk to Matthew.
Oh, you want to talk to Kevin? Yeah. All right. I hope Kid Rock doesn't want to talk about Shatner's equestrian.
By the way, that didn't sound like Shatner at first. You notice that? I was like, what? Until he said, had a question event. Then I was like, okay, there we go.
All right, you want to talk to Kevin on line
five? Kevin, what's happening?
Hello. Guys, this is, I've never actually spoken to you before. Are you there?
Yeah, we're listening. Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm on, like, the public transportation here in Portland. It's ungodly, the noise.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing.
Hell yeah.
Question, please.
So my girlfriend has recently started the birth control patch.
Mm-hmm.
And she keeps complaining about soreness in her breasts. And I'm sure Maverick has something interesting to say, but... Mm-hmm.
I'll get to it in a second. Let's hear from Maverick first.
Why is she sore? Did someone tune her with a potato gun?
No. You got to... See, I don't want to tell you... I did this show for a long time, and I don't want to tell you what to do, because go with your own instincts. But you probably should... Potato gun shouldn't be at the top of every list.
Just the first two.
Bro. I really need a job, all right?
No, I know, man, and I'm trying to help you. I'm not critiquing you. I'm just saying you got to listen. She's on the birth control patch. It made her breast sore. It has nothing to do with a potato gun.
Then why are you dogging me, bro?
you're telling a deaf guy to listen.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, metaphorically, yeah.
Keep it up, girl. You're going to get you out with the potato
gun. Okay, I'm sorry. You all do right, your
Kevin,
own thing.
Here's the deal. It's high-dose estrogen there, and the estrogen that causes the tenderness, and that's a common side effect of contraception. And maybe she ought to talk to the doctor about something with a little less estrogenic effect.
Okay. All right. Good advice. Now, Kid Rock is on the phone. Perhaps he has a problem that could be remedied with a potato gun. Kid Rock?
Hey, man.
What's happening?
I have no idea.
I know. It's early for you, right?
I had some email from some dude said he'd call you, and I talked to Jimmy the other day, and he said, call Adam.
Well, I'm glad it took two voices forcing you to call me.
I got no problem calling people in the morning. It's just a problem, you know, just getting up when you're on the road is tough.
Well, what time do you normally go to bed when you're on the road?
It's about 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the morning.
Yeah, now the show ends. You're going to be at the Gibson Amphitheater tonight. We know it as Universal Amphitheater, us old schoolers out here. We're giving away one of your guitars, Les Paul guitar, Gibson guitar, by the way, and some of your tickets, backstage passes and all that.
Oh, nice.
But when you finish the show, what do you do?
Nothing positive.
just hookers and booze and groupies and stuff?
It depends. I was in Phoenix the other night, we had a fish fry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, a buddy of mine, Hank, caught a bunch of fresh fish down the panhandle, so we had a fish fry in Phoenix. Sounds a little better than, you know, groupies and blow.
Well, even the best of us can get burnt out on groupies and blow. After a while, on the seventh night, you need a fish fry, and then you rest. What's up, hate to get controversial on you, but that videotape?
Oh, I was retarded.
What's going on with that?
Nothing. It's squashed. Isn't it amazing how that thing got squashed and everybody else somehow comes out?
I did. It was you and the guy from Creed, or who was it?
Yeah, I apologize for that.
What, what happened? There was a videotape of you and some groupie, right?
Yeah.
And who took the videotape?
He did.
Uh-huh.
That was my party. He was lucky to even get invited.
So he was a shrimp. It's your fish fry.
That was right, man. That was like I had two beers left, and I gave him one because I'm that nice of a guy.
So he took a video of you getting it on with a groupie, and then he took the tape?
No, there was four groupies.
Oh. Sorry, Your Highness.
They weren't groupies. They were strippers.
Okay. And he took the tape with him when he left?
I guess. I don't know. I wasn't sober.
Drew's got a puss on. Lighten up, buddy. It's rock and roll.
I just think you better leave my card for him.
Come on, Dr. Drew. Yeah, listen. He'll get sober when he gets off the road in 10 years. Now it's party time.
That's right.
His name's Kid Rock, not Kid Puss. It's right in the name. So he takes the video, and he then releases the video somehow?
No, I didn't know what happened. I was in New York, and someone emailed me about it. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, whatever. I'm like, sweet, I got a record coming out. I don't care.
Well, that to me just means you're hung. Because if you're not hung, you get your lawyers on it immediately. If you're hung, oh, well.
It was not a problem at all. I mean, they even like told my old man about it and stuff, and nobody seemed to be upset about me, like, you know, being with four strippers 6 years ago when you're first starting out and getting crazy on the road. They were all pissed off that I was hanging out with Scott Stapp.
Mm-hmm.
that seemed to be the problem.
So now the tape is buried. We'll never get a chance to see it.
Yeah, I haven't even seen it.
Really?
No.
Well, maybe we should have a fish fry and a viewing party with Kid Rock.
Hey, what are we charging for tickets?
Wow. We'll get a few viewers in there. We'll make some money, yeah.
Kid Rock?
That's Def Frat Guy. He has a question for you.
Hey, bro, I was just wondering, do you ever, like, worry that chicks are going to judge you in this stack?
That dude drunk or Indian? Which one?
He's deaf. He's hearing impaired, but he doesn't let it slow him down.
I couldn't.
He wants to know if people, you're worried that ladies are going to judge you in the sack. He's a little self-conscious with the ladies.
I don't know. I guess some of them will. I don't know every lady.
That's why he doesn't care. That's why he's with strippers, deaf frat guy.
Nah, I do care, but, you know. But look, it's just I don't make any bones about who I am or what I've done. You know, some things I'm proud of, some things I'm not proud of. But, you know, I don't run around trying to be one of these, you know, guys covering everything up. And then I'm the biggest whore in Hollywood, which we know that pretty much 90% of all these actors out here are.
Are you, do you live out in Michigan?
Yeah, I live in northern Michigan.
That's where you make your home?
Yes.
But you get out to L.A. quite often?
Well, I have to work.
Well, you should come by. I know the show's a little early for you, but here's what I would say. You go to bed at 5, just stay up another hour and come in.
I would do that, but I got to usually play the night after.
Well,
if I didn't have to play tonight, I would have, you know.
You're better when you're hungover. By the way, Kid Rock's going to be playing tonight at the Universal Amphitheater, or as it's now known, the Gibson Amphitheater. We have tickets to give away. We're going to do that. All right, Kid Rock, thanks for calling into the show.
All right, I'm good to talk to you, buddy.
Good to talk to you, and please come in the flesh.
And we also have the big Gibson guitar off coming up next hour.
Yes, we have a $1,400 guitar to give away.
Five contestants will be showing
up. Oh, we have five. We have five guys. Okay.
We got four.
Four guys.
Whatever.
All right.
Don't show
four
me up, Bruska.
Four guys coming in. They're going to play. We have the song, by the way. Let's hear the song for a second. Drew, this will bring you back to your high school days. They have to play this lick.
Oh, I know this.
All right, now let's see if you can name the song. You'll know the lick.
Yes.
No?
No. Deep Purple.
No. Sounds like Deep Purple. Van Halen played at Dr. Drew's prom or something.
I was at a prom in 1974 when Van Halen was the band.
In Pasadena. Hocus Pocus.
Yes.
By Focus. So they're going to come in and play this riff. Drew, God bless you for coming in. Nice work.
Thank you.
Deaf Rat Guy. Again, I don't want to tell you how to do the job, but a little less potato gun talk, probably, when you're helping teens with their sexual problems.
Dude, they have to stand with their problem. They're calling for help. I'm going to give them advice.
Okay. I'm just saying, maybe it's not all potato gun. That's all.
Here it comes.
Use this fart gun.
Okay, hang on. Dr. Drew, thank you. Loveline, syndicated everywhere on K-Rock out here in Los Angeles. Also, the new show, Strictly Dr. Drew, or new season of Strictly Dr. Drew.
Also, I've got an ED campaign, justasktoday.com. Check that website out.
Erectile dysfunction.
Yes, just trying to get guys to realize that's a medical problem and see the doctor about it.
All right. Famed movie producer Peter Gruber is going to be in studio. This guy's done He's done Rain Man. He's done Batman. He's done everything. So we'll take a break. Is Def Rat Guy hanging in?
Yeah, I want him to hang out for the contest.
All right. Def Rat Guy, you hang out. We'll, oh, did I say Gruber? Sorry. I said Goober. Actually, Gruber does sound better, though. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Right, chicks love the car.
Wait till they get a load of me.
Peter Goober in studio. Peter Goober is a Hollywood big shot producer. Done movies like, well, you got your Batman Returns and your Batman. Over $1 billion. Now, this is range. Tango and Cash, Flashdance, and Midnight Express, too. And, of course, our favorite, Youngblood. Hockey movie.
Awesome picture.
Damashek and I actually, you want to hear gay? We actually had sex with each other. Yeah, I know you thought I was going to tell a story about us watching Youngblood and holding hands.
Couldn't be gayer
than that. It can't be gayer than physically having intercourse. Now,
good
we
Christ,
rented.
I'm gay.
I actually rented Youngblood about 3 years ago, and we sat at my house.
Well,
and
that's how I got the check.
Guys.
I couldn't figure that out.
You got the check for 49 cents, right. The residual. We watched Youngblood, and then we broke off into discussion groups.
Yeah. Adam cried when Patrick Swayze got the head injury. He hasn't been the same since.
Neither has Patrick.
So, all right, so we're here. Shootout, by the way, is the name of your show, Sunday Morning Shootout, Sundays at 11 a.m. on the American Movie Channel, AMC, as I know it. You got a big Sunday, May 21st. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, May 21st. Yeah, you got the Da Vinci Code thing. You're going to have Tom Hanks and Ron Howard on that. Let's talk summer blockbusters, since you've been responsible for many of them. Who do you like? What do you think? Maybe I'll go over them and you give me your impression and tell me what you think.
First, rip it.
Yes.
Rip it. Go ahead.
All right. We'll start. Does that mean fart?
Some of them are that way.
We will. No kidding. We'll let you stand at the urinal with me. It's great during the commercials. The Da Vinci Code. What do you think?
Well, it's the biggest book in years and years and years and years. It's got a giant star in Tom Hanks. Some people think he's bulletproof. It's got a big audience, but it's older. It's not young. Mm-hmm. And it will fly, I think, all over the world. It's done well in every country in the world as a book. So I think you're seeing celebrity and stardom and early summer release. I think it's going to go the full distance.
Now, wait a second. Adam, you think, correct me if I'm wrong, you think this is going to be the biggest movie of the summer?
I do. I do think that, whereas you think X-Men, the
no,
last
No, I don't.
Stand
I said
gonna...
Superman will be number one.
Really?
Yes, yeah, Superman. Mm. I said I'm most excited about X-Men.
It's also the most expensive. It's almost $300 million.
Superman. Superman.
Yeah.
What do you think of that one?
Really? Hold on. Almost $300 million? I mean, it wasn't long ago, and I mean 3-4 years ago. I remember I'm talking about the Titanic, but even a few years before that, $100 million was the most you could possibly ever spend on a movie.
Doesn't go that far anymore, you know?
$300 million.
Yeah. But I think what's most expensive are the special effects.
Well, I think it's not just the special effects. They had $50 million in development money before the guy flew. You know what I mean? So a lot of scripts, a lot of time working on it. And it's a big franchise, and they own DC Comics. The real question is they have no star in it. Brandon Routh is a newcomer. Bryan Singer, who is an X-Men, you know, devotee, having, you know, created that franchise, moved over to Superman. I think he brings the skill to it. But more, that's a lot of distance that film's got to go to cover that money.
$300 million bucks. But is the thought with things like that is the ancillary markets or the foreign markets or the merchandising, they'll eventually get it all back?
Unless it's on the streets of Los Angeles the day it opens because it's been stolen, which has been the history in this business in the last year.
How big a deal has the piracy been?
So big that films now, you look downtown, it looks like Bangkok. Films are already on the street being hawked there, even before their release. It's just a very pervasive thing that's going to affect everything in the movie business.
I don't want to sound like I'm kissing Peter Goober's ass here, but let me say this. I've always say people get on their high horse, the artist types, you know, about music being downloaded for free, movies being peddled, downloaded, whatever, bootlegged. It's stealing. It's just pure and simple. If somebody spent money on a product and then you don't pay money for that product, whether it's a car, a movie, a song, or earmuffs, it's stealing. Somebody put money into something, developed something, they need a return on it. That's how business works. The $300 million, they're hoping they'll get a few dollars back on that, and if you take it for free, it's stealing.
And the first time a young person or somebody does it, it's curiosity. The second time, it's interest, and the third time, it's a habit. And then they don't want to pay for anything. It's all the way it's going now in the marketplace.
Yeah, and ultimately, I don't know what the offshoot will be. They'll stop making big-budget movies. I mean, what if it doesn't get put reined in, what will happen?
Well, I think the model is going to be broken. You're going to see not an evolution, but a revolution in the movie business, because these windows, the releasing windows from theatrical to cable to video and on, is broken, and you're going to see a collapse. I think you're going to see day-and-date releases into homes, streaming it into homes, mm-hmm. and maybe it's 3, 4, 5 years from now, and then you'll have giant tentpole pictures like Superman being released almost like Roadshow in the old days. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see more event pictures and the smaller pictures being imported directly into the home.
Let's talk about Tom Hanks's creepy hair in The Da Vinci Code. I'm freaked out by that straight hair.
You saw it first on the Academy Awards, that little clip that he showed.
I did not enjoy that.
Yeah,
I found that very off-putting.
Well, if hair doesn't make the movie not work, then nothing will stop that movie. I mean, I think at the end of the day, if they're looking at the hair, that movie's not going to make it. So I think it's going to be his acting, the book, the material, the excitement for the picture. But you're right. Everybody's been commenting on that, too.
Creeping me out. And what about Mission Impossible 3?
Bulletproof. A big star. Early picture in the season, pent up awareness for movies. Mm-hmm. It's got a franchise as a tentpole. They're spending a crap load of money. It's everywhere you go, every urinal you go, it's say MI3 on the wall. Mm-hmm. So the idea is you have awareness, you have penetration, you have a big franchise, you have a big star. I think it's going to go the distance. I think it's going to be globally even bigger than domestic.
I got to say, you keep talking about tentpoles and penetration, and I'm going to take a break.
I'm sitting next to somebody really? Cool.
Well, yes. Speaking of penetration, a lot of people. People say that Tom Cruise did not do that to Katie Holmes, that she was never even pregnant. Do you think that's just complete nonsense? There are a lot of people that now say Katie Holmes, it was all manufactured thing, her pregnancy. She didn't actually have a baby.
So you think that...
I didn't say I think.
You
I
think said, DNA means did not act?
I say if they did that, they would have had her give birth a few days later, closer to the premiere on the 5th, I do believe. We need to take a break? Is that what that is? Oh, running a little bit late. Peter Guber here talking movies. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Of course, I don't have my underwear. I'm definitely not wearing my underwear. Not my underwear.
A little something from Rain Man for you. Peter Guber in studio. Producer extraordinaire. Color Purple. Witches of Eastwick. Who's that girl? Caddyshack 2, Gorillas in the Mist, Rain Man, Batman, Tang on Cash.
Last Detail, one of your best pictures.
Oh, yeah. Not even on here. Flashdance, Midnight Express, American Werewolf in London. He knows what he's talking about. We want to talk a little summer blockbuster movies with him. You can find Peter, by the way, on AMC, American Movie Channel. Sunday morning shootout, 11 o'clock. Sundays, 11 a.m. Sundays. Peter. We're sort of moving forward, talking about money during the break. You know, we hear about these outrageous salaries. Some of the celebrities are getting $20 million a picture, $25 million a picture. But then I was saying yesterday, I think someone like Tom Cruise for MI3, he gets a percentage, right? And it could prove to be much more than $20 million.
Oh, they're all after that back end. I mean, the real reality is they get a guarantee, like, Tom Cruise may have received $25 million guaranteed, $20 or $25 million guaranteed, against 20 or 25% of the revenue from the first dollar. So he could make, if that film works, $50, $60, $70 million, $80 million, and he's got a producer's share, too.
Yeah, and you want to know why he's out pimping the thing everywhere every time you turn on the TV. Oh, he's jet-setting to Rome. Now he's in London. He's all over the map talking about MI3. Well, could literally mean $20 million extra in his pocket, right?
Mm-hmm. He's motivated by money.
And the guy doesn't do coke. He doesn't have a problem with hookers. He must be sitting on hundreds of millions of dollars.
He flies around in a beautiful jet, and he's been a fantastic star for a long time. He's one of the few people that is virtually a guaranteed pull at the box office. We did two films with him. Of course, Rain Man, but he also did, A Few Good Men, which I thought was fantastic. I did his first film, his very first tiny little part, called Endless Love with Franco Zeffirelli.
Yes. I remember that movie.
Hey, but Cruise has no stink on him, though, from his bizarre behavior the last year. Nobody holds it against him. Him playing an action hero, no one thinks that he doesn't suit that part anymore?
You mean like 740 home runs doesn't smell if you use steroids? No, actually, he has escaped that. Actually, he's escaped that in a certain kind of film. One wonders if he went into a really intellectual or art film or a love film, whether that would affect his box office. But in War of the Worlds, or MI3, bulletproof.
See, right. Here's the problem. You don't know the history of psychiatry. I do.
Yeah, if he's a doctor, if he was doing My Dinner with Andre, too, which I'm going to pitch to you in a moment.
Hey, this is what I want to know.
It takes place in a futuristic world, yes.
If Tom Cruise decided, you know what, I've done a lot of movies, got a long resume, I'm going to have a wife in a couple of months, I have three kids, I'm going to buy a ranch in Montana and just relax and stay out of the public eye for a while. Do you think the Scientology people would push him out there?
I think they get
to make money for them.
I think they get him a psychiatrist. I think that's what they would get him if he did that. No, he's a machine, and he's an artist. He really is an artist. He really cares deeply about the films he does, and he's really, you know, involved in every single aspect. He went up to Silicon Valley, saw Terry Semel, and convinced him to work on the film, make a relationship that would bring in a very young audience. And when he watched how it was tracking, this guy is a master of his craft. Whatever you think about him for his personal behavior, he's a master of his craft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's definitely obsessed, which I don't like.
Do you think Mission Impossible 3, is that your choice for the biggest picture of the summer?
Well, you know, yeah, the most expensive picture, of course, is Superman. So it has to do even bigger. It has to be, you know, polar. Mm-hmm. But the question will be whether or not films like Pirates, which is coming down at the end of the year, which has been a gigantic film in the global picture, will make it. And I think the real film that travels, you know, when you look at it, is probably MI3. That travels because it's got two things. It's got the star, it's got the franchise and the tentpole, and it's got the whole summer to play globally.
Right, so not opens here in a week or so, and then just keeps going, just sort of crisscrossing the world, the globe. Well, let me ask you this: like, I enjoyed the first Pirates of the Caribbean, but everyone's complaint on the first Pirates of the Caribbean was it was too long, and everyone said, "Yeah, it's a great movie. They could have made it 40 minutes shorter; would have been more enjoyable, especially if you're bringing the kids or whatever." I started thinking about it, and I realized, well, it cost $150 million, $130 million to make. It was about 40 minutes too long. Each minute probably cost you $90,000 or whatever it is. It works out to something. You've essentially spent an extra $30 million to have people complain about your film. That was the only complaint that anyone ever had. Don't they get that?
Yeah.
Don't they understand that?
They do understand. The other problem is then when you overmake the movie that way, then $30 million is on the editing room floor. So they figure maybe they'll give it to you on the screen. But now they did one and two together. Pirates 2 and 3 have done, have been shot
them
together.
So they piggyback them.
They got it. They got you coming and going.
That's the way. Eve?
Yeah, what's up?
That's the way you make money. I have a question for Peter.
Adam, look, I think a line of decency is being crossed here with the amount of funds that's being used for entertainment purposes when the average length or distance a person needs to walk to get a cup of water is 4 miles. And I read that piece of information on the inside of a toilet stall, and it doesn't matter where I got it.
Where? Wait, you mean worldwide?
Exactly.
Well, you're not talking about the San Fernando Valley where I'm from, because it's about 9 miles in North Hollywood. Yeah.
I see. Well, that's unfortunate, Adam. But
right,
you can see where my disgruntlement comes from. Where shouldn't there be a cap on income? As far as, you know, why does an actor need to get? Why does anyone need to have in store over $500 million? What do you understand? You're a wealthy man. I mean,
I'm literally a millionaire. Literally.
You've got one. That's terrific. $1 million. Congratulations. I've heard it takes 6 to retire comfortably. So I think after 6,
she read that also on the bathroom wall.
Go teach your summer school to your special needs kids. Don't bring that crap over here. I'm a capitalist. People do that. Why do you need a car that goes 200 miles an hour? Because I can afford it, bitch. That's why I need a car that goes 200 miles an hour. That's it. Why do you need to complain all the time? The world will never know. Point is, look.
We're dying as a species.
Well, good. Hop on the next flight to Kenya and see what you can do.
God bless you. I will.
All right. Look, this whole idea that there's this finite amount of money and that we're hoarding all the money and we actually, you know, fly into Sub-Sahara Africa and take money out of the pockets of people that need that money for baby formula, and then Tom Cruise spends it on a vintage P-51 Mustang. Untrue. We work. We make money. Work as much as you want. I'm not saying rape the land and rape the people to make the money. I'm not saying pollute the rivers. But people do this all the time. Do you think this athlete is worth this much? Do you think anybody is worth $20 million a movie? The consumer will decide. That's how it is. They'll stop making gas-guzzling SUVs when people stop buying them. That's how it works. I vote, Peter. I vote with my wallet. I literally use the corner of my wallet to punch out those little tabs. I physically vote with the wallet. Physically.
Are there any hanging chards on your wallet?
Oh, obviously, because it's soft. It's an alligator skin. Yeah, and I've constantly push it in. Yeah. All right.
Now,
so,
Goober. Well, we got to get
Goober. Sorry.
You say Mission Impossible, unless I'm wrong. That will be the biggest picture. What do you say biggest bomb of the blockbusters?
Wow. I think the one that's got the biggest risk to recover its cost is Poseidon.
Oh,
$174 million.
This is the one he
I know. I'm looking
about
forward to it. I get choked up just talking about it.
I'm looking forward to it too, but it's $170 million, and it feels a little derivative. It feels like Titanic 4, you know, a little bit like that. So I wonder if it's something borrowed and something blue and not something new.
You should do radio. All right, we're plumb out of time because we have to have our.
Guitar off.
Yes. Battle the bands in here. Someone's going to walk away with $1,400 worth of Gibson guitar. Peter, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Goober, everybody. Come back. You will be our
guru.
Expert, our guru on summer movies. Shootout on American Movie Channel Sundays at 11 a.m. We'll be right back with the guitar shootout after this.
For grabs on the Adam Carolla Show, tickets to Kid Rock, backstage passes, and a Gibson Les Paul guitar. And all these guys got to do to win is play one of Adam's favorite songs.
Hocus Pocus by Focus.
See, I can do part of the intro to Stairway to Heaven.
I'm not sure if you're a man. Mike, thank you. Where were we? That's right. We're giving away this $1,400 Gibson Les Paul guitar. We have four guitar players in studio. Tyler Turpin from Cypress, California. How say you, Tyler?
Hello.
How old are you, Tyler?
17.
John Hendricks.
Yeah, here I am.
Granada Hills, you're older than 17?
Quite a bit.
Jimmy's brother.
Alex Quinones.
Yeah, right here.
Well, you're a young man, too. How old are you?
18,
and then Ruben Lopez.
Adam, what's going on?
Good to see you there, Ruben. All right, now, we've never met. I'm not going to give this guitar to... There's no nepotism here. I'll give it to whoever plays the lick the best. Now, I just crapped out Hocus Pocus by Focus. It just came flying out of my mouth. I thought it'd be a funny lick to play. For those of you who aren't familiar with the song... Focus is a band that's from the Netherlands, and this song in 1973 reached number 9 on the U.S. Billboard chart. And by the way, you have to rock if you reach number 9 on the Billboard charts and all you do is yodel. No actual lyrics in this song, just a guy going yodel, 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 yodel. I'd like to do the Focus karaoke. Yondoi, 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 yondoi.
Can't wait for your next party now.
Maybe it's because we won't be invited. Maybe it's because they don't speak English. I don't know. Now, I think we found the lead singer or lead yodeler from Focus. We're trying to get him on the phone. Is he on the phone, Brusca? Well, we're calling the Netherlands to try to find this guy named T.S. Van Leer. They don't disappoint. God knows what time it is. Who knows what year it is in the Netherlands? It could be 1975. Maybe they're still at the top of the charts. All right. So you guys have been practicing this lick, right?
You bet.
It's an easy lick, straightforward lick for you guys. Who would like to go first?
Now, whoever does it the best goes home with this beautiful Gibson guitar.
Right. All right. So, Tyler, yes. 17, whole life ahead of you. You big Focus fan?
I have actually never heard the song until this morning.
That's what makes it so pure. You ready to give it a shot? All right. Now, you guys will all be playing the same guitar, the actual Gibson we're talking about giving away. All right, this is Tyler Turpin from Cypress, California.
Should I just start playing it?
Let's try that again. What do we do? You want me to hit you with a ball of foil? Kid, this is show business. Now, welcome to the stage. Wait a minute. I hear Cleveland knows how to party!
Yay!
Please, welcome to the stage, Tyler Turpin! Sounds awesome. We're having some feedback problems with the mic. Tyler, that sounded competent, but I'm not sure if maybe we didn't have the mic and amp set up correctly. What do we think? You got that mic?
You should change
them. Try. You guys have some tuning, some tech tips for us?
Yeah, a better amp.
A better amp.
I got one that sounds great. It's tiny, tiny.
Yeah. All right. Well, we spare no expense on the show. We made that out of a Campbell soup can and some foil. All right, we ready to try again? Try that lick again. Let's see if it comes in a little clearer. Okay, that sounded good, but again, I can't tell if the quality's so effed up that it's a little difficult. Yes, Def Frat Guy.
He looked like he knows what he's doing.
You can't. You only hear the bass guitar.
Yeah.
And the kettle drum. Sorry, buddy. Just hang tight. You're saying just if you were voting just on looks, Tyler looked like he knew what he was doing.
He looked like, what the word, competent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, dude, I want to win that sweet axe.
You want to win the axe?
The axe.
What are you going to do with that guitar? Do you play the guitar? Do you play music?
A little bit.
Sorry. Are you getting a little bummed out?
Sometimes I get a little bummed out about my hearing.
Okay. Well, let's not bring the show to a grinding halt there. Let's try to keep upbeat about the
For
whole
those of
thing.
Us who can enjoy them.
Yeah, John, you're next.
Okay.
Tyler, that was a good job, but again, not sure. We'll see what it sounds like when John hits it. Oh, you want me to give big intro? You're ready to rock. John Hendricks, everyone, playing for the guitar he's playing. Now do the drum solo. That's right. Got a deduct point for yodeling. Like,
oh, I got extra credit. No.
Wow.
Do the high note. Well, nice job.
Wow. The old timer showing him how it's done.
Yeah.
Tyler, I think our old buddy Phil Leotardo's got some choice words for young Tyler.
I'll go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Sorry. Sorry, but the old master, John Hendricks, really, he showed his supremacy there. Looking good.
Halfway
now,
done.
Now, should we move the mic a little bit further from the amp? Wouldn't that help just a little bit? We said it during the commercial, but it seemed like it was too close. Maybe that's it. Play a couple more licks, if you could, there, John, just to hear you. Zeppelin. Yeah. Pull the mic out even a little more. Let me just see what it sounds like. I think it's better a little further away. All right, keep it there.
Hey.
All right, John Paul, hold on a second. Yes, sorry, Def Rat guy.
You can tell when someone's walking because they're moving their mouth a little bit. A little bit.
Right.
Yeah, like, he was doing, like, opening and closing his mouth.
Right.
So he looked like he was really rocking out.
That's how you rock out. Like, when the guy like, looks like, ooh. It's like he's getting it on with the guitar.
Yeah, like he's boning the guitar.
Okay. I think people knew what I meant when I said getting it on.
Hell yeah.
All right. We still have Alex Quinones and Ruben Lopez to go. I'm wondering if we should take a break here,
sure.
Bruska.
Later just in the clubhouse, though, John Hendricks.
Want to do one more?
Yeah, one more.
Really? It's time to go to break. Huh?
We got 10 minutes. Just for one.
All right. All right. Alex Quinones, you ready to rock?
You know, shows up in the Zeppelin t-shirt. Another young buck, Alex.
Mm-hmm. 18 years of age from Pomona. All right. You join Tyler.
Wait a minute. I got a little surprise for you. Some Pat Benatar, maybe?
Uh-oh. Hit me with your best shot. Trying to sway the judge by playing some Benatar. You play Hell Is For Children. You may just make it to the semifinals. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. We have one more to go. We also have on the line the lead singer. Now, hold on a second. The lead singer from... Focus. Uh-oh. T.S. Von Leer?
Hi.
Hi, you're calling from the Netherlands?
Yes.
What time is it over there?
It's here,
1839. Oh, it's our military time. It's 6:30 over there.
Yeah.
All right. And you're the lead singer from Focus?
Yeah, you could say the yodeler.
Yes, can you give us a little of that yodel?
I'll try because my voice is very bad today.
Well, I'll tell you.
There I go.
Oh wait, hold on.
Oh. Wow.
I'll tell you what. I don't know. So far, I think John was the cream of the crop, but maybe Ruben can play or John can play.
We'll keep him around
back
on the line so he can judge the two finalists.
Yes.
How about that?
All right. Okay. We only have one left, by the way. But is it? How do you pronounce your first name?
Tace. Yeah.
Tace Von Leer. Hang on a second.
Tace Von Leer. Yeah,
calling from the Netherlands. Tace is how he says his name. Okay. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back to give away this guitar after this. All right, where were we? First, we have Tyce Von Leer, who's
lead yodeler.
Lead yodeler from Hocus Pocus. It's a lot of static on today's show. Tyce, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm also the Hammond organist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the flute player.
Wow, yeah, it does eventually. Minute number 9 goes into a Jethro Tull-type flute solo.
Right.
Well, you're quite accomplished. We have accomplished musicians ourselves here. Well, I'm going to put you on hold for a second, Tyce, just so we can clear that up.
But he can hear it while we're on hold.
Yes, he can hear us.
Judge.
Alex Quinones was the last to play. I believe we only have Ruben Lopez left. Ruben?
Yeah.
You're... Mic is on. You're at the guitar.
Okay.
You're ready to rock?
Rocking. Yeah.
All right. Now coming to the stage, playing Hocus Pocus by Focus, Ruben Lopez!
Yeah! All right, here we go.
Yodeling would be a plus.
The two best are Ruben and John, with all due respect to the youngsters, Alex and
yes. And again, all of you are going to walk away with some tickets to tonight's Kid Rock show. But, yes, Def Rat Guy.
Hey, dude, don't let the door hit you on the way out. This is my job to lose.
He was good, though, Def Rat
Guy. You thought he was good? You see his mouth moving when he was playing?
Yeah, it pretty much rocked.
Okay.
Don't get bummed out about
Even
that.
Even a deaf man knows that rocked. Well, the winner's going to walk away with that Les Paul Gibson guitar, $1,400 worth, and the two tickets for tonight's show over at the amphitheater. So I got to say, it's time. It's between John and Ruben. Mm-hmm. These guys. John, why don't you take that axe? We'll have you go one more time just to hear what that sounded like.
And then, Ace, it'll be you and Tice will decide the winner.
Tice?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Not bad, huh?
Not bad at all.
Who knew that 33 years later, people would be paying you tribute by playing Focus by Hocus Pocus.
And I never heard yodeling on a guitar.
Yeah, he makes it sing.
Well, John's going to play now, so Tice, feel free to yodel if the mood strikes you.
All right. Here we go. We get it. You've made your point.
Thank you very much.
Tice, what do you think?
I would, can I be honest?
Yes, please.
I would go for Ruben.
You thought Ruben was a little better?
Yeah, just a trifle.
Yes, I thought he was just a trifle better myself.
That's Tice's song.
Yeah, I mean, and I have to agree. I have to agree with the great. It is your song. Who better to pick the winner? But I think Ruben did a marginally better job as well. Tice,
okay.
I want to thank you for calling in all the way from the Netherlands.
Okay, man.
I'm sure you get this stuff all the time. Radio shows calling you up, wanting you to weigh in on your Focus guitar off. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, next time you're in L.A., swing by the studio.
Yes, and we will. We have Pierre van der Linden back in the group.
Oh, that's the buzz, but I didn't want to say anything until I confirmed it.
Okay.
All right, didn't want any lawsuits on my hand. You know what I mean? I did say, I remember saying, I'm going to drop a Focus bomb later in the week. I said that Monday, but that was it.
He beat That's why me the song was in your head, right?
That's why it was in my head. All right, again, for those of you who are going to be out in Lillehammer, Norway on May 26th at the Classic Rock Festival, and let me tell you something. I wish I had the time and the money to do that. I'm sure you could not go wrong with that. Rory Gallagher plays a 20-minute set, and then on comes Focus. Oh, we're drunk off our asses. Where were we?
Ruben! His moment of victory.
Nice job, buddy.
Thank you, Adam.
All worthy competitors, but Ruben, you will be taking that axe home.
And he's going backstage to hang out with Kid Rock.
That's right.
And make videos.
You may want to wipe it down with a little Purell to erase the stink of Tyler and Alex. Not great guitar players. I know they're young. I know I shouldn't squash your dreams, but sorry. That blew. Now, where was I? All right. So, Ruben, you want to play us off, by the way? And play a song you like, whatever strikes you.
With your brand new guitar.
That's it with the show, everybody. I want to give thanks. Well, wait a minute. We're not going to do that music. Ruben's going to play a little something from his song chest.
I'll play some more.
Perhaps a little Zeppelin.
Little Zeppelin. No.
Whatever you like.
I'll just start with this.
I want to thank Anastasia Ashley for coming in here. PETA2.com is where you go to vote for her. Deborah Norville, Dr. Drew, Shatner, Peter Goober, Kid Rock, and of course the good folks over at Gibson for giving us this
and amazing taste spice
guitar. Yes. Tyler, John, Alex, Ruben, thanks a lot for coming in. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, Mahalo.